Hi, good morning. It is Tuesday, October 8th, 2013. I'll call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. We will begin with our invocation, and then we will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by Mr. Medrano. We're welcoming today Senior Pastor Dr. Anna Hoseman Butler from Oaklawn United Methodist Church. Dr. Hoseman Butler is a newly appointed senior pastor at Oaklawn United Methodist Church as of this summer, July 1. The great news is that she is the first woman to assume the role of senior pastor in the church's 139-year history. So congratulations. She's a native of Mississippi, but been in Texas for 35 years, a graduate of Master of Divinity from Perkins, and a doctor of ministry from Bright. So you've done both sides of the Metroplex, ordained elder in the United Methodist Church, and has served in the active parish ministry since 1996. She has moved from the great city of Plano to the great city of Dallas, so we're great to have you here. She's married with two grown children. Would you lead us in prayer this morning and bless this council?
I will, Mr. Mayor, and thank you so much for the invitation. And before we pray, I want to invite each and every one of you, if you have any time on a Sunday morning, you come by Oaklawn UMC. It is the most beautiful sanctuary in Dallas. I'm prejudiced, okay? Would you bow? O Lord of us all, humbly we come before you today to do the business at hand that is the work of the people. Put our minds at ease as we rest in the joy of this glorious day, for it is a gift. Put our hearts at rest, for we are all worried and distracted by the anxieties and fears of life. Put our spirits and lives to doing as we try to remember what really matters this day, and that is collectively doing what is best for all, but especially those in our midst who are considered the least, the last, and the lost. For no matter who we are or where we come from, we belong to one another because we belong to you. And so we pray that we are ever mindful that the real mark of our collective humanity is how we care for those who cannot care for themselves, those whose lives are defined by violence and poverty, fear and mistrust, our precious children, all of them, all of those we know have a special place in your heart. We ask blessing this day to do the business at hand without rancor, without ego, without malice, without selfishness, rather with grace, compassion, faithfulness, and gratitude, especially gratitude for being able to do the business at hand. We give thanks for the calling you have given us for life and life abundantly. We give thanks for the privilege of living in this lovely city. We give thanks for entrusting so many resources to our care. Let us always be mindful that we are accountable to one another, but ultimately, we are accountable to you. Amen. Thank you all.
Thank you, Pastor. This morning we're going to do something a little differently. Before we take our open microphone speakers, we're going to take up item number four. Item number four is the action on our city attorney's office. There's a couple of people that have city business outside Dallas and need to be doing that, and I wanted them to be part of this discussion. For those of you that don't know and that are listening and here today, This process for search for a city attorney has been thorough, professional, and I believe very frank and open. I want to compliment at the front end Molly McCall, who's in the city manager's office helping us lead this effort. We hired Newhouse Noblin, who's the executive search team, and they've done a very good job as well. And then the hard work was done by our search committee, beginning with Adam Medrano. Thank you, Adam, Mr. Griggs, and Judge Hill. It was good to have two lawyers on that group. The job of that committee was to review the resumes that Newhouse Noblin gave us. We then chose five candidates that the committee interviewed. There were other council people in the room, but the committee interviewed those individuals. We then made a recommendation to the city council for the three finalists. The city council approved that those three finalists. And lastly, we went through an interviewing process last week where each of the council members interviewed each of the final candidates. We then met yesterday and discussed the strengths and weaknesses of each candidate. I think that there seems to be pretty good consensus that we had three very good finalists, and I want to thank each of the candidates for their professionalism and their willingness to step up and apply for this job. It made us a better city for that. I also want to thank each of our city council members. Very, very professional. And when you move from policy to personalities, it's a little tricky because we all have different points of views on personalities. And I think the respect that this council had for each other's opinions was really heartening for me. With that being said, I will ask Ms. Rios to read in item number 4 into the record.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Addendum item number 4 is consideration of the qualifications of candidates for appointment to the position of city attorney, selection of a candidate for commencement of negotiations, and authorization for the city manager to negotiate the terms of an employment contract for the position of city attorney.
Thank you, and I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In reference to addendum item number 4, I move to appoint Warren Ernst to the position of city attorney of the city of Dallas, subject to negotiations and the contract returning to the city council on October 16, 2013, a revised resolution regarding the contract negotiations has been submitted to the city secretary. I so move.
Second.
Well, Mr. Kleinman.
I'm honored to second that motion.
Go ahead. I have a substitute motion, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My substitute motion is to appoint Angela Washington, the city attorney of the city of Dallas, and to authorize the appropriate staff to make such further negotiations as are necessary to finalize that employment arrangement.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Do we have a second? Hearing none, we will have
discussion. Dwayne seconded it, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Caraway made a second.
Oh, Mr. Caraway. Okay. I didn't hear you, Mr. Caraway. Okay. Let us have discussion on the substitute motion.
Can I be heard, Mr. Mayor?
Please. I'm sorry, Mr. Quinn, are we clear some... You want to speak in a second, Mr. Clement?
I'll defer. There we go.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, we had a lot of discussion about this, but I think that the public needs to be aware that Angela Washington's qualifications are different from the other candidates that we had and, in my opinion, superior. She has experience both inside and outside of city government. She was the interim city attorney for this city. losing out on becoming the permanent city attorney to Madeline Johnson, who's quite a formidable candidate in and of herself. And since that time, Ms. Washington has done nothing but burnish her resume in a way that I believe makes her uniquely qualified at this time in the history of the city of Dallas to be a truly effective city attorney for this body. Furthermore, it is my assessment of her after meeting with her and interviewing her that she has the necessary understanding of her relationship to the council to be able to give us unvarnished advice, strong legal opinions, and the sort of independent counsel, counsel, that will allow this body to make good decisions based on the law. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Any other discussion? Mr. Caraway.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. No deference to Warren, I want to say, but I think in deference to Ms. Washington and the closeness that these two professional candidates had, it is only right and proper for us to be able to second, to at least hear on the record, out of respect for these two candidates. Is the reason that I second it, because it was very close, and Ms. Washington deserves the openness and the transparency of the professionalism that she demonstrated so that we could move this thing forward. So that is my reasons and rationales for seconding, because she deserves it. She went through it. Warren deserves it. But they were so very close that we should recognize the two of them. And that is why I want to hear the discussion and have the discussion on the table.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Hearing no more discussion, I'm going to ask for a record vote. We will vote on Mr. Kingston, Mr. Caraway's motion, substitute motion. All of those, please vote now.
Fourteen have voted.
Somebody hasn't voted.
All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Councilmember Medrano, Kingston, Grayson, and Griggs. Voting against, Councilmember Davis, Caraway, Gates, Allen, Kleinman, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Councilmember Callahan, Cadane, Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Councilmember Hill. The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We will now entertain discussion on Ms. Hill's original motion, Mr. Kleinman's second. If you can take that off the screen for me.
It's a programming issue.
It's a programming issue. That's right. Okay, just is anybody like to speak? Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me just say that it gives me great pleasure to, one, be in support of what is about to take place. But now, I do, and I would like to get some legal advice as it relates to an executive session, possibly, and I say possibly. I think that one of the colleagues, in my personal opinion, may have a conflict that needs to be discussed. If someone can pull me to the side and can tell me if indeed this colleague that's voting on this particular issue has not a conflict, then fine, we can move forward. But if we're going to do things transparent, then I want to make sure that all bases are covered. Okay. And okay. That I feel very
Thank
comfortable
you.
With that.
All right, Mr. Bowers, would you meet with Mr. Caraway for a second while we have some other discussion, Mr. Caraway? Thank you. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, there were some great interviews, some great people who interviewed, and I thank the council. I think we listened to all the candidates, and we did listen with open arms. I think to be a great city that you need to have someone know the city. In order to take this great city forward, that we got so many different irons in the fire. And I think Warren is a person who can take the city forward. because you look at what he did with the convention center. We also look at it with the convention hotel that he did a great job with that, but also the leadership. And I think we had to recommend Tom Perkins that inside that when you have a great leader, do you train someone to take over the position when a great leader leaves? We found that out through the park department. We also found that out with Chief Brown. You know, we had Chief Kunkel, who was the chief of police, and we said, well, he's a great leader. We had two candidates, almost three candidates, who was up in the running for the chief of police. But leader make other great leaders, and I think Warren is a great leader to take this city to the next generation. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston, did you want to speak?
I did. Thank you, Mr.
Sorry,
Mayor.
I thought it was just the old.
Appreciate it, Mr. Mayor. I think the public needs to know that Warren Ernst, while he may have drawn some votes, has also drawn quite a bit of controversy in this body's discussions of who we would want for the next city attorney. And I think the reasons for that are pretty obvious for those who follow the city of Dallas. This office, the city attorney's office, has had a string of problems recently. It is, in my opinion, not in good shape. We've seen some blocking and tackling problems, just day-to-day stuff that doesn't seem to work out that well. Cases that are settled on a basis that this body has had serious concerns about. And this is in a department that, if it were a freestanding law firm, would be in the top 10 or 15 law firms in terms of size in the city, about 100 lawyers. Yet our expenditures on outside counsel continue to be rather high. I don't know that we always make a good decision about when to seek outside help. As far as we can tell from the budget, the department takes up about $17 million, and that's only in the direct costs of the department. Some of the issues we've seen where this body has gotten bad legal advice are redistricting, flow control, drilling, both in terms of the Trinity East permits, but additionally, more recently, in regard to the City Plan Commission's deliberations for our new drilling ordinance, in which I believe that the City Attorney's Office has inappropriately tried to push policy issues. Those are policy makers on CPC. Those policies are coming to this body for policy analysis. It's not an appropriate action by the city attorney, and it doesn't give me confidence that I'm getting unvarnished legal advice that is designed to help my interests and the interests of this body. As we discussed the other day, Tom Perkins was in charge of this department for a long time. I would not tar Warren Ernst with that brush if I did not also have some experience with him since Tom left. And since Mr. Ernst has become our interim city attorney, what I've seen is a demonstrated lack of independence from the city manager's office. I have inquired with the city attorney about why we continue to pursue the misdemeanor tickets that we wrote to the Uber drivers when we know that those cases are kind of losers. This body has never been asked whether that is the policy of the city of Dallas, whether that is a strategic goal that we want to achieve. Therefore, I can only conclude that that is being driven by somebody else. Well, who is driving the boat here? These are policy issues. And if we do not have an attorney in whom we have confidence that we are getting advice, unvarnished and unaffected by interests that are not the clearly articulated policies of this body, then I believe we are not going to be well served. This is the council's lawyer. Full stop. It's the council's lawyer. And if, you know, I am a lawyer. And if you don't trust your lawyer, you fire your lawyer. And I cannot publicly support Warren Ernst for this position because of those concerns, which I addressed with all of you well before this meeting. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. Having worked with Warren for a number of years on both the Park Board as well as on the Council, I have really enjoyed getting an understanding of his position and his advice. Warren does a great job of looking at things from both sides, laying out the pros and the cons, and helping us make a balanced decision with regards to the decisions we have to make, also within the realm of our ordinances. I think it's important to recognize that just because a city attorney makes a recommendation that's different from your particular position does not make them a bad city attorney. They are just making a recommendation that is in what they believe is in the best interest of the city, and it is important to understand that we do make the final decision, and they're just making the recommendation. So while there may be particular issues that certain council members may not agree with the advice of the attorney, and there certainly have been some of those in my case, I feel that the advice has always been strong, it's been well supported, well researched, and much consideration to the factors that affect this city and the best interest of the city. And I think that's what Warren really has in mind, is what is in the best interest of this city and what is the best advice he can give in that area. And therefore, I'm quite honored to second Judge Hill's motion and support Warren for this position. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
First, I'd like to begin by thanking those that helped us work through this process, and also for all the candidates with their name in the hat. It's very few jobs that when you apply for, you're immediately recognized in the paper with your age and experience and such. So, and especially to our last three candidates, I mean, Angela Washington, Warren, and Russell Coleman are all exemplary attorneys, and it was a very educational process to sit down with all three of them. I do feel like this process helps us recognize weaknesses in the system, and I think some of those could have been brought to Warren's attention, and I think he will do his best to serve us well. I also, I pulled his performance reviews. I looked at him back to 2006. He has excellent reviews and has been well respected within some council members, some not, but with also within the system itself. I think he recognizes there's areas that can be improved. There's always areas that can be improved, and hopefully this process will only make him a better city attorney. So I will be voting for Mr. Ernst. But again, thank the candidates. I mean, Ms. Washington and Mr. Coleman were excellent people, and also I think could have done a good job, but Warren rose to the top.
Thank you. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor and Council, I'm quite proud to nominate Warren Ernst to be the next city attorney for the City of Dallas. I have the rare privilege of being the only council member who has actually worked in the Dallas City Attorney's Office. I worked in the Dallas City Attorney's Office for 8 years prior to going on the bench. I'm quite familiar with that office. I'm familiar with the operations of the office. I'm familiar with the manner in which the office determines how to proceed to trial, how to proceed to settlement, how to advise its clients. Warren Ernst is a fine lawyer who also understands all of those things. He has the outside experience that I believe shapes the experience that he has groomed during his term within the city attorney's office. Not only do I have a long-term experience with the City of Dallas, I've also had the privilege of sitting on this council for the last 6.5 years and living through the many issues that this council has had to struggle with. My esteemed colleague, Mr. Kingston, chose to highlight three issues. However, this council struggles with considerably more than any three issues. While those issues are certainly headline issues, it is the bread and butter issues that guide us every day in our governance of this city. However, I will address those issues since he has brought them to the fore. I sat through redistricting. I sat through not just the council vote, but I also sat through all of the commission meetings. I was at every single commission meeting. Mr. Perkins, his staff, and the outside lawyers who assisted us gave this council every bit of advice that this council needed to make a decision. Not everyone on the council was pleased with the advice, and not everyone listened to the advice. That is not the lawyer's fault. I, too, am a lawyer. And I, too, have clients whom I will advise, and clients will choose to do other than I advise them. When my client does what I advise and it comes out well, we're all happy. When my client does not, then I defend my client because it is the client's choice as to the client's action. It is not mine. It is not the city attorney's office. It is the client. And in this case, the client is the city of Dallas, embodied in the Dallas City Council. I too sat through flow control. I voted against flow control consistently, not because I thought the city attorney's advice was incorrect, but because I disagreed with the issue. Ultimately, the judge agreed with my position. But again, that did not make the city attorney's advice any less excellent. The judge, too, is a lawyer. He happened to have the last word. On gas drilling, I voted differently from a number of my colleagues sitting here. I may vote differently from you when it comes to the permanent ordinance. That does not mean that the advice of the city attorney's office is not stellar advice. It means that I have weighed the options and determined how I should vote as a council member. The city attorney does not make policy and has not attempted to do so. I heard that the city attorney attempted to push the manager's agenda when it came to gas drilling. The manager had no agenda as to gas drilling. The city council had an agenda as to gas drilling. The city council directed the manager's office to find creative ways to bring in extra revenue when the city council was looking for that. The manager's office did that through the gas drilling leases, and it was only after that that circumstances changed, and therefore the council decided that what the manager had done at the council's direction was to be criticized. As for the city attorney stepping into the judicial process and dictating the outcome of tickets that have been written, that is absolutely, totally incorrect, unacceptable, and it is against every lawyer's code of conduct. The judicial process is designed to determine whether or not a valid citation has been written. It is the judge who determines whether or not a citation is proper and what the ruling should be on that citation. It is not the city attorney's job to step in and invalidate citations that have been written by the police department. That is what the judicial process is for. I stand by my nomination of Warren Ernst. I will vote for him, and as he proceeds, I wish him Godspeed. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Mr. Allen.
I've been on the city council for 6 years, and not 2 months, but 6 years. During those 6 years, I've seen nothing but professionalism coming out of our city attorney's office. My perception after these 6 years, not 2 months, is the fact that it's one of the finest departments that's around. I know you guys will do your homework and give us the best advice that you possibly can. And you rest assured what you've seen is a majority vote, 8-4. And, 8-4, that's 11-4, excuse me. You've seen a majority vote. And so rest assured that the council stands behind, and it's a minority that's talking the negative talk on this. I will say you've got the hardest job there is, because you have to sit around and try your cases in public with 15 of us. Your hands are always tied behind your back. You're fighting with one arm, one hand, where everybody else gets two, because we're always out in front of you talking to the press. You tell us things in executive session, and then we go straight out to the press. You got one hand behind your back all the time. And somehow or another, dude, with that one hand behind your back, you're still out there whipping them. So, Warren, you got my vote. I'm proud of you. Look forward to the years coming up in the future for your leadership and the continued leadership of the of this department and making it, again, the premier legal staff, not only in Dallas but in the United States. So look forward to working with you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I don't have much to say because Judge Hill said it all, and I appreciate what you said about our attorneys. And Jerry, I said what I was going to say. I've been here over 6 years. I've worked with our attorneys and their staff and Mr. Perkins, and we have a stellar staff in our attorneys. Every issue that I've brought to them, they've cured or they've solved, and I've never had one problem. Every attorney in that office has a duty to do, a job to do, and they do it very well, and I appreciate them very much. And I, too, Mr. Ernst, will be backing you, and think you've done a great job, and I think you'll continue to do a great job, just as Mr. Perkins did. So thank you, Mayor, and I will be backing Mr. Ernst.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much, Mayor. First of all, I will be supporting Warren as well. One of the things that I was impressed with Warren, in neighborhoods like where I live, we have a community court and a community prosecutor. I think I have one of the best community prosecutors there is. And he not only works in District 7, but he works in the other half of the southern sector as well. Without those community prosecutors, it would be very hard on the ground in areas, in certain parts of the city. I think that is a plus for me. And then not only that, he had said something that impressed me. You know, it's about neighborhoods, and each district come with a different view. Each council member come with a different view of their neighborhood. And I think that is so true. I think that is so, so true in his interview process. And I think that each council member come with a different view on how they see things in their district. At least I do at the end of the day. And so that was a plus for me. And, you know, Warren is not in this, I don't think, for fame. I think he is in this because this is something that he wants to do and his passion for what he wants to do in the city. So I was very impressed with that as well. I think Warren will be a fine individual. I think he's mature. I think that's what that floor needs, some maturity and making sure that things are carried out. And one of the things I ask Warren is diversity, making sure we have African Americans and Latinos and other individuals on that floor, and also making sure that they are in our executive session, making sure that they are out here, and especially an African American female attorney and Latino attorney. I did ask them that, and so I'm hoping that Warren will continue to be open-minded about that, making sure that we have a young group of attorneys, and so I was very impressed with that. And not only that, I think there have been some things in the district. We have some old apartments in South Dallas, Warren work with me to, with Tom Perkins, to get rid of these apartments that had just been plaguing that community. And so I'm very, very excited about that. And a number of other things that I think he has worked behind the scene with me on. So I'm grateful that Warren stepped up to the plate and want to be our city attorney for this city. I think he did a good interview. One of the things Warren said that I was, another thing he said that I was impressed with, look, I'm not here to do this for the money. I'm here because I want to see a better city. And so that means a lot to me. So, Mr. Mayor, with those small comments that I have to say and my one vote, I will be supporting Warren. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Callahan.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to thank the committee that worked together to try to bring these candidates to us, the search firm that brought these candidates forward. I thought we had three really excellent candidates. I really, really liked and admired and respected all three of them. I was very close to voting for Angela Washington. I think my inclination was to go for an insider because of the issues that faced the city. I look back and reflected that Angela had not been here in 14 years. I recognize that she probably should have gotten the job before. For whatever reason, she did not. Madeline Johnson got that job. If I'm not mistaken, I think Warren was recruited by Madeline. So shows that she's got pretty good taste is able to find talent, understands what talent looks like. I think an insider is important right now because of the issues, again, that we have. I found Warren to be a person, as I've said in the group meetings, I don't think he equivocates. I think he recognizes the law for what the law is. I knew an attorney growing up who said one time, they said, you know, the law is not about right or wrong, but the law is about the law. And I think you have to judge what is there, and that's for judges and juries and everybody to recognize that. And we see daily in the newspapers across the country where judges and attorneys, they disagree on legal proceedings and opinions and so forth. We have a good staff here. We're on the right track, in my opinion. And is it perfect? Probably not. I don't think any human function is perfect, but the advice that I've been given, I think Warren just tells you, here's the way it is, this is the way I see it, and he doesn't move from that, and I have a lot of respect for that. He's not affected by pressure. He just said, this is just my viewpoint. So I think that's good advice, and that's why I'm going to support him. And it was awfully close, extremely close. I wish there was a way that we could bring Angela on board as one of the assistants. That's how much respect and how much I admired her. Even former council people had told me that what a good job that she did when she was here before. I just think it would take her a while, maybe 6 months, to get up to speed, and I think Warren's already on the job, and that's the reason I'm going that direction, so I'm going to support Warren Ernst.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to say quickly that my vote today is not a vote on the state of the city attorney's office or the fine attorneys who work in that office. It is a vote on who I think is the best candidate for the city attorney's position. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And I was listening to some of the outstanding comments. I want to say that everything that I've asked Warren to do, he's done it. And he's brought me information as late as last week. He had to look me in the face and said, you can't get that done. And I respect that in him. One thing that I do want to say, that the reason that I'm in the middle of this debate, it's not a debate versus Warren at this point, it's Warren will be our city attorney. I'll be voting for Warren. However, I want to make sure that in the process that it is transparent and very fair for everyone. So at the end of the day, we can go to sleep, at least I can go to sleep, and say that I feel that it's a fair process. I don't feel with that at this particular point, that the process is just completely the way I would love to have seen it. At the end of the day, it's just like beer and wine. I fought extremely hard against beer and wine. I knew the effects that it would have on our community. True enough, it is having that effect. However, at the end of the day, the citizens of this city chose to bring on the beer and wine, and I have wrapped my arms around it. Every time someone comes with a beer and wine request, then I'm giving it to them, unless it's something just extraordinary out of kilter. When I lose a vote, I join the team, and joining the team means that I'm a team player. However, I feel, Mayor, that some of the comments and some of the things that's been said about Ms. Washington, I want to, and I feel compelled to make sure that folks understand when we say that she's been gone for 14 years. That does not say, and I'll address you to this, Ms. Grayson, that does not say that you are an outsider because you left the Dallas City Council and you came back. And I think that the same applies to Angela Washington. She served in the city attorney's office, and she should be recognized as someone that has served and not an outsider. Ms. Grayson, I don't look at you as an outsider. You returned back here, and I think it is only appropriate that things that we say are things that are factual, and she should not be, and I will not sit here and allow us to paint her as an outsider and only Warren as an insider. They're both insiders. And then when you look at it, she was the interim city attorney for 10 full months. She was elevated by the Dallas City Council then up to interim city attorney in charge of the city of Dallas's daily affairs for 10 months. And granted, she then applied, and subsequently, she was not selected as the city attorney after the interviews. I just have a problem with the fact that some of us are tainting her in a way. And I'm not saying you're tainting her. Don't take that, Rick. I'm not saying that. But now, at the end of the day, as relates to the community prosecutors, I think that a great job has been done, but I can go back and recall when I didn't even have support of certain colleagues here around this horseshoe to get the community prosecutors. Had to fight like heck to keep these community prosecutors, and now we've all begun to see it's one of the greatest things that have taken place. So when I hear people wrapping their arms around the community prosecutors and the great thing, I go back and recall the fight that we had and who was in the arena fighting. And I didn't have a lot of support for that fight. And then to our former Judge Hill, former Judge Vonzeal Jones Hill.
Retired.
Former.
Retired.
Mayor, I'm talking. I have the microphone.
Please, please.
So it's best if you want some peace for us to have peace. To former Judge Vonzeal Jones Hill, okay, who was once at the community at the municipal courts here in Dallas. We won't talk about why she left or who asked her to leave. I have a problem with the transparency of this deal. And the reason, and I would ask publicly for Judge Hill to even just consider, former Judge Hill, to just consider recusing herself even from this process. And let me speak on why. And I could be wrong, and I've consulted with the city attorney. And my concerns are that it could be potential bias, and there's a track record behind this because there have been other judges that have applied trying to go up. We encourage people to apply. We encourage folks to go to school and get an education. We encourage folks to be young and get involved. But then there has been a track record here of three that I can recall here lately within the last 2 years that have attempted to go up the ladder, all three attorneys, that a fight ensued behind for some reason. I don't know if all three of the other folks that applied for judgeships and had other concerns. I don't know what the problem was, but then there was a problem. So I only am forced to have to look at this as a potential problem, because you can't go and have one that you turn down, two that you turn down, three that you turn down, and here we are now with another one. So now I only say that because one, Miss Washington and her family, they're from Italy, Texas, and they attended the church that the former pastor of that church, Judge Hill, was the pastor of. And so daily and weekly, the family and Miss Angela, whenever she would come and visit, of course, they had interaction. And just on their own testimony, when Miss Washington's mother passed, former judge took over the eulogy for that family. I don't know if there's a degree of bias. I did ask the city attorney. The city attorney said, well, unless it's something that is financial. And I anticipate for this council to be transparent. And so is it financial? Well, I don't know if it's financial, but I do know when we go to church, we put money in the plate, and the preacher is paid somehow by that church. So maybe that's a degree of financial. So you can look at it as deep as you want to, but at the same token, I have the right to raise the concern, and I have the right to make sure that things are happening in a very transparent way. And at the end of the day, we'll leave it alone. But when certain things apply to certain people, then certain things are escalated up. But then when it's not in favor, certain things are just kind of forgiven and move forward. I just simply am making it public. I am simply saying that I think that with that, we, a true judge and a true person would say, as other council members have said, well, it gives the appearance, is the legal word that people use, that it gives the appearance. And for the sake of the appearance, then let me walk in the back room and then let's move forward transparently. With the city's business. I'm there, and I just thought I'd put that out there. And that's my opinion, and doggone it, for the people that elected me, the 60% of folks in District 4 that are African-American, and the 30-some-odd percent of Hispanics and the Anglos, I'm representing as I should represent, and that's their position, our position. And it's transparent. And I'm not going to hide behind anybody's back and say it in a back room. I'm going to say it publicly, and I'm going to deal with it. Now, Warren, I support you, and we're going to have a good attorney. But at the same token, I want it to be done in a transparent, open way without the undermining stuff that has been going on.
Thank you. We will now vote for Judge Hill's and Mr. Kleinman's motion.
14 have voted. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, Davis, Caraway, Gates, Allen, Kleinman, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Callahan, Cadane, Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Councilmember Hill. Voting against, Councilmember Kingston, Grayson, and Griggs. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have instructed the city manager's office to contract with Mr. Ernst, and we will have an election on that contract next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, that's when we will finalize that. Thank you all for staying that had another occurrence or another appointment. Ms. Rios, let's take up our morning speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We do have four individuals registered to speak this morning: Roy Williams, Travis Wortham Jr., Ayman Rashidi, and Marvin Crenshaw. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, will be removed from the room. You have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, and you will address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, your first speaker is Roy Williams.
Before I get started, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to set up an easel, if I can. I have some photos, if I may.
Mr. Mayor,
you're going to
be speaking.
Yeah, you can come on down the front row.
As well, Mr. Kingston.
I'm sorry. I forgot. We can't do visuals on this, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Roy.
You can't. Why not, Mr. Mayor?
It's in the rules, in the city rules.
Would you state the rule for me, please?
Yes, I will, Ms. Rios.
I think it's incorrigible, Mr. Mayor. This is the most insensitive council I've ever dealt with.
Yeah.
This is about the life of an eight-year-old.
If hold on here before you start speaking, so we can make sure that we do this correctly.
We need to get the rules. Mr. Williams, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, if we could maybe go to the next speaker while we look at that section of the rules.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And
we'll get the rules and make sure that you're clear on them. We can go to the next and we'll come back to you, Mr. Williams.
If I may, I want to appeal to Mr. Kingston as a constituent here that is acting in the legal capacity and allow him to speak Mr. Kingston can call him up.
We'll do that.
Larry Friedman.
Mr. Wortham? Please. Somebody getting that, Rosa?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I bring you greetings in the name of our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Brother Calway, and others on the council. My name is Travis Wortham, Jr. I've spent 33 years in the Juvenile Justice Department in this state, serving the most violent kids throughout our state and this general area. I know what violence looked like. I've seen it from every angle, every type of child that have committed every type of heinous crime you can imagine. When I learned of this case, it caught my attention without any prejudice. An eight-year-old kid playing on the parking lot who had gone in the house, who came back to get his bike, confronted by Brian Kleininger, 46-year-old white male, 8-year-old black kid, Donald Mayton Jr., and he, according to Donald, is grabbed by Brian, tried to get him into his truck, and when he was able to break away, thank God, he was shot at twice with a shotgun and shot in the face. Mr. Mayor, a few weeks ago, you had a summit on race relations. Thank you for that. Dallas needs to be healed. I've spent about 25 years working on race relations and diversity in this city. I've worked under the late Reverend Dr. E.K. Bailey's ministry with most of the American churches around Dallas. I facilitated groups on race relations. I understand diversity. If this case doesn't move us, we cannot be moved. I talked to the grandmother 2 days ago and asked her how much money has been raised because the mother has had to leave her job. She's at the child's side 24/7 since September 3rd. I asked her how many council members have been in contact with that family, including the mayor, and she said nobody. This is a family that has moved from out of this state to this city looking for the good life. And this innocent child is confronted with this shooting. He is now suffering from irreparable damage that he will suffer for the rest of his life. Council members, Dwayne, Mayor, I know you all have a plethora of resources. The mother told me they have raised $20, and this child has endless surgeries that he's got to have. Now, we came out when the incident happened in West, and rightfully so. We've come out on every type of issue around Dallas, and rightfully so, where tragedy has occurred. This is a tragedy. Our city ought to be embarrassed because of our inactivity and our lack of response to this family. I'm asking you, I'm appealing to you, Mr. Mayor, and this city. Every one of you who have resources, and Mr. Mayor, I know you have plenty. I'm asking y'all to make contact with this family, and let's do something to make a difference with this child. I know my time is up, but Mr. Mayor, I have the story, and I have the contact for this family, and I'm asking y'all to take it. I don't have enough copies for every council member, but I'm asking y'all to make copies and have this information available.
Please.
Who can I give this
right,
to?
Right here. Mr. Ryan, would you go out and review Mr. Williams' materials, because it does say if the city manager reviews it. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, if I can just have just a few more seconds, I'd appreciate it.
15.
15 seconds is fine. Council members and the city, let Dallas be the great city that it claims to be. Let's rally around this child and this family and not let Dallas be the embarrassment that it's going to become when we are fostering race relations in this city. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Rashidi?
Mr. Rashidi, you're next. Mr. Rashidi will be followed by Marvin Crenshaw.
To Mayor, City Council, concerned citizens, my name is Amin Rashidi. I'm the president of Rashidi Group and also have a talk show in New York, 93.7 WBLK, and we have covered this story. I now reside in Dallas now. I got my start here 25 years ago under Mayor Ned Strauss with a program called Crime Prevention. As a result of that, I've traveled all over the world based on these skill sets. One thing I know is what you see reflects what you feel. What you feel reflects what you think, and how you think dictates how you act. And how you act will dictate how people will react to you. Well, that reaction produces a climate. The climate right now is one of fear. My daughter lives about four blocks from where the shooting was. I have a grandson who's six. He asked me, Granddaddy, am I going to get shot? When children begin to ask you those kind of questions, you got to give them more than just rhetorical comments. We want to make sure they're secure and that they're safe. Next thing I want to say is we need to have a treatment plan. That's post-traumatic stress when a child has to witness another child being shot, for the mother to have to come to the door screaming, and for the blood to still be on there 3 or 4 days later. We have to react in a manner that makes children feel like they are safe. Secondly, we need a united Dallas. Last night I was on the air in Manchester, England. Also, we'll be on the air in Toronto, Canada today talking about this story. When people do converge here on Dallas, I want to see a united Dallas, not a divided Dallas. We can do just as well as we do as with this city. It's a beautiful city, but we need to do the same thing when it comes to the care of our children. And last but not least, we need to have a mobilized presence where those children can see that someone is doing something. Can we do a benefit concert? I've worked with artists all over the country. And these artists can impact that greatly. But the key of this is we have to get our children involved. It's not about just adults going out reacting to this. We have to produce certain types of forms so that children can be a part of the process. And last but not least, I'm not only speaking as a professional, I'm speaking as a parent and a grandparent. As a parent and a grandparent, I'm concerned about, as these tragedies continue to occur, did this man act alone? As a subject matter expert in the field of gang violence, I'm saying that you don't have enough evidence to suggest that he did act alone. You don't know that. And with that being the case, I would choose the latter to say we don't know. If that is the case, until that is the case, we need to figure out what type of action we're going to take to make sure that we secure that area for our children. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Mr. Williams, why don't you go ahead and put that stuff up, and we'll...
We'll take Marvin Crenshaw.
Yeah, Ms. Crenshaw, are you speaking on the same issue? Okay. Ms. Crenshaw, just so I can... Will you be speaking on this, or do you have something else? Okay. So you will be covering this. You'll be covering this issue as well? Okay. Yeah, just put it back there, Mr. Williams. I can see it. Put it. You can just put it right there. There we go. Okay, that's fine. Let's go. Thank you. Mr. Williams, you are on. Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to give thanks and praise to the Creator that we are gathered here today to discuss an issue that I feel very strongly about, and this whole city should be disturbed about. My name is Roy Williams. I've been involved with this family, and it's real disheartening to know that nobody around this horseshoe have cared to approach this family, show no compassion about this kid. I see on the front of the Dallas Morning News where you have a 12-year-old, and I'm real proud to see that young man excel as well as he's supposed to have. But this is tragic. Mr. Mayor, I've worked in your campaign, your first campaign. I've worked in your campaign. I made just about every debate that you went to and told you about my concerns about education and kids. And here we are today that you have a mayor pro tem that should know better than not to inform you as well as the other African Americans on this council about the sensitivity that one needs to show to a tragic like this. I called Mr. Jerry Allen's office and alerted him and asked for him to get me the police report. I have not received a return today. This is his district. This is Jerry Allen's district. He hadn't reached out to the family, but case in point, when those rash of murders was happening in Lake Highland, and nobody should be subjected to any form of violence, no matter what color you are, what gender you are. But this is a poor black family from Louisiana, and nobody is concerned. More importantly, there appears to be a systemic action of African-American boys being attacked across the country. Trayvon Martin comes to mind. Also, I was informed there was a little black girl outside of Dayton, Ohio, where an Anglo male broke into her bedroom and shot her in the face just a week or so ago. Mr. Cadane, you head up the Public Safety Committee. I'm really I don't even know what to say about this, as far as you're concerned, heading that committee. And Mr. Carraway, I think you're the vice chair, if my memory serves me correctly. I'm speaking to the council, Mr. Mayor. Today is a good day for me to be diplomatic. We're talking about a situation where I grew up, where I saw Emmett Till in an open casket as a young boy. That terrorized me and all my peer group. This family is, I need a couple of minutes, Mr. Mayor. This is serious. I need a couple of minutes.
One more minute.
This is tragic. We're talking about Dallas being a can-do city. What can we do? We can't even protect, even show compassion for our own. This is an 8-year-old boy. Look at him, Mr. Mayor. His mother has had to quit her job to stay in the room with him because he's stressed out. He said, the bad man is going to come get me. Please stay with me. But yet and still, nobody on this council, not even you, Mr. Allen, have taken the time.
Mr. Williams, speak to me, Mr. Williams.
To make an effort to reach out to this family. It's unchristian.
Mr. Williams, speak to me.
It's totally ridiculous. It's insulting to have nobody, especially those that were voted to take care of people in this district, whether they're white, black, brown, spotted, or dotted. But that hadn't happened. So, Mr. Mayor, here's what I'm going to appeal to you today. Last time I was here, I appealed to you and I just want to lay out a list. I need for you, Mr. Mayor, as the mayor of this city, to come out and meet with that family, to come and visit that child. He'll be getting out of a Scottish Rite Hospital, our children's house, on Thursday. I need a commitment from you, Mr. Mayor. I need a commitment from you today.
Thank you.
I need a commitment from you today.
I got it, and I've got your number, okay?
My number, so what does that mean?
It means we've got your time's up. We got to move
on. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to meet with me and the family or not? That's all I need to know. Are you willing to meet with me and the family?
Mr. Williams, you know this isn't a dialogue. This isn't a process for dialogue.
All you have to do is say yay or nay.
I understand that.
Mr.
Williams, I said I've got your number.
I know you got my number, and I got your number too, Mr.
Williams.
So I'm asking you.
Let's move on.
I'm asking. I'm not going to move on because of.
Mr. Williams, let's go. Mr. Crenshaw, you're up. Your time's going to start. Mr. Williams, you know I'll.
Roy. Yes, I will.
Just a second. All right, the meeting is recessed at 10:11. Sorry. The council will now go back into session. I think Mr. Crenshaw was up. I mean, speak to Mr. Crenshaw first, and then
I requested earlier, I'm going to speak on two issues, and to keep the continuity of the process going.
I know. Let's go ahead and listen to you, and then we'll take Ms. Crenshaw. You've got this is your 3 minutes. You can take it or not.
Can you take my 3 minutes?
No, I will. I'm going to listen to him.
Okay.
I'm going to listen to him.
I'll go ahead then.
Okay.
But, Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. And I was going to speak on two issues. Number one, I am in support of this issue, but I think it's sort of appalling that as citizens, you know. Our right to speak early in the morning. That's why we come down here and be here at 9 o'clock. And you were talking about a personnel issue, which is, you know, some of your prerogative. But we've sat here through all of this and listened while you showed your transparency. And we see this happen. Now, I had asked for the attorney to speak because of the fact to keep the continuity of the process going, you know. Because I was going to speak on two issues, but it's really upsetting that after all the things we've gone through here in the city of Dallas, only last week, a week or two ago, you apologized for the tragic murder and shooting of Santos Rodriguez. And now here again, we come before this council talking about another young boy who is not. Has not reached adulthood, and we see the same thing happening again. And I understand why Roy is upset, because I am upset too, but I'm trying to be cool. But you know, we talk about God in the schools. We need God in this council too. We do. We need God in this council. And the things that are happening here are just totally out of line. So I mean. Again, I can talk about what I'm going to talk about some other time, but the attorney needs to get up here and speak. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw. He's not signed up to speak, but I think under the circumstances, we'd be glad to give you 3 minutes. Thank you. If you'll give us your name and address.
My name is Larry Friedman. I live at 25 Glen Abbey Drive in Dallas, Texas. I represent the family, Your Honor. And I'm pleased to be here, members of the council, Mayor Rawlins, and citizens. On the night of February 26, 2012, Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old boy, unarmed, an African-American teenager, was shot by George Zimmerman. The city of Stamford did nothing in response to that incident, and that defined the city of Stamford then and forever. On September 3rd, 2013, D.J. Maiden Jr., an 8-year-old African-American boy, was playing with his friends. He was playing tag 3 days after his birthday. While he was playing, a 46-year-old white man with a shotgun, Brian Collinger, who's in jail, who did not live at his apartment complex, got out of his truck and shot this young man in the face. He fired twice and hit him once with his shotgun in the face. Young DJ fell to the ground. He was dazed and he bled through his mouth. He was scared and he was crying. He got up and he ran to the house with his jaw barely attached to his face. His mother got him in her arms. She put a towel under his chin and she called 911 for help. Little DJ's friends followed and they cried and they watched in fear. DJ's life will never be the same. He now speaks through a trach. He's been in the hospital since September 3rd. He says that he looks like a monster and he doesn't want the other kids to see his face. Cloninger is in jail, where he should be, and the police have not announced a motive. Ladies and gentlemen, this crime hurts. It hits our underbellies. It's brutally painful for all of us as human beings, as parents, as citizens of Dallas. It's haunting. And our response to this crime will define our city. As we approach the 50th anniversary of the assassination of JFK in Dallas, we have a chance to redefine our city. Should redefine it as a city who loves our children, who prioritizes our children, and who protects our children. So, accordingly, on behalf of the family, I would respectfully request the council to consider the following. Number one, to proclaim September 3rd, 2013.
You've got just a few more seconds, so please.
30 seconds.
Please.
As DJ Maiden Jr. Day and give him an accommodation for his bravery. Number two, create a crime victims program to assist children who are victims of violent crimes and their family. Three, create a task force to study the problem of violent crimes against children and appoint a crime victims advocate. They say it takes a village to raise a child. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes a city, our city, to protect them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I think we've had our morning open microphone speakers. Mr. Allen.
You know, obviously, this is a tragic event. Tragic event. Obviously, this young man's going to have scar tissue on his face for the rest of his life, but more important, he's going to have scar tissue in his head the rest of his life. No question about it. Chief, would you come up, please? Chief Brown, I know this is an ongoing investigation, and I realize you can't go into all the details, but I do have just a few questions. Just want to, whatever you can, the discussion about it that you can do.
Okay.
But at this time, what charges have been brought?
We brought injury to a child charges, which is a felony of the first degree. And just so you know, the charges that Mr. Williams is asking us to bring is an attempted murder charge, which is a lower charge. We tried to explain that to him, that we want to charge him with a felony of the first degree, which has a penalty up to life in prison. The charge Mr. Williams is asking us to charge, attempted murder, has a 2 to 10 year penalty, which is not appropriate for what happened at that scene, the behavior of this suspect. So we want the highest charge for this suspect so he can serve the maximum sentence in the penitentiary.
Bond's pretty high.
$2 million bond. Very high. That's a very high bond.
Is at this point, as you've looked into this in the investigation, does this look like a hate crime?
We did look for any evidence of a hate crime. I can note this about the investigation, that there were no witnesses that have come forward to this crime happening. People in the apartment complex heard a shot, but they didn't see anything happen. The only witness is this child victim. And up until recently, his mouth had been wired shut. He's been unable to talk with us. We've had one very short interview with him, and the evidence that we have at this point doesn't match what Mr. Williams has heard. We don't have any evidence to support that he was about to be pulled into a car. We don't have any evidence to support any semblance of a hate crime. And until we're able to do a full conversation interview with this child, we won't know any of the real details that only this child will know. So everything else is just speculation, distortion, mischaracterization of what happened.
Has the DPD, have y'all reached out to the citizens that live in the that multifamily community?
We have. We've canvassed the apartment complex on several different occasions that afternoon when this happened, and we've repeatedly gone back out to try to see who saw or witnessed anything. I have met personally with the grandmother and the mother of the child, and we're going as slowly as we need to until this child is able to be comfortable talking with us because of the delicate nature of what happened to him being 8 years old. And so we've taken a lot of due care in our investigation, and we have continued to go out to the location and interview. We want to meet with the management and the community out at the apartment complex because, as you know, these apartment complexes are communities. They're
That's
neighborhoods,
right.
And we are starting to reach out to that apartment complex neighborhood as well.
It is a tragedy, and this particular community, I did not go to it this last National Night Out, but a year ago they had a National Night Out, and it talks about the community. So this is without question. You have a young boy riding his bicycle, minding his own business. You have just this monster. thank you, Chief. Fellow council members, too, and I just want to kind of also update you on Mr. Williams, made some comments. He did contact my office, talked with my assistant, Jeannie, right after the event, wanted to know about the police investigation, what was going on. Jeannie did what all of administrative assistants would do, and she got him with the liaison, who then in turn got with the Dallas Police Department. And they have been in touch with Mr. Williams from day one on this, as I've been in touch with the DPD. Obviously, it's an ongoing investigation. It's a very sensitive type investigation as we've done this. I will say this, the Dallas Police Department and the information they've been able to provide, they're stellar. You know, Chief, you guys, and then your actions last Friday night, again, just going out to the multifamily community and reaching out again to that, you know, and Chief Acord and his crew, just stellar of what they've done. It is a tragic event, and I can say that scar tissue will last a lifetime. So, you know, it's... this young man won't be left on the side. He won't be forgotten. We're going to, you know, continue to reach out. Dallas Police is going to continue to do their job, and they'll bring the proper charges at the proper time, and then the light of day will hit this event. So thank you, Mayor, for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Allen. And thank you all for coming. This is something that's truly tragic. That's number one. And it's something that we will put our arms around, and myself personally, but under the leadership of Mr. Allen. First of all, let me take the cover off so you all can know. In our districts, there are things that happen every day. In 3700 block of Bonneview, trust me, something is going on right this minute over there. And something even tragic, and there have been tragic things that have taken place all over the city. But in your district and in my district, when something is taking place, there's so much happening that we can't express and get involved immediately and personally with everything, even though this kid that I just saw in the Boy Scout uniform, and folks know me, Rashida, you all know I'm a kid, big kid myself, and I deal with kids every day. We're taking 300 kids this evening at 5 o'clock to the State Fair of Texas. So no one deal with kids more than I do. So I want to say about Mr. Allen, to you all, he's not insensitive. He's pretty much one of my, so Sheffy, buckle your seatbelt. He's one of my very favorite colleagues, the two of them, Sheffy and Mr. Allen, two that I know for a fact that cares about their community and the people that they represent. I know that he's crying in his heart, because he's cried out to me as relate to this particular incident. So I want to say that publicly so that the folks here and the family and folks hearing, they know where you are, and he's very, very sensitive. Just because he finished from Lake Highlands and he's a Lake Highland Wildcat doesn't mean that he doesn't like the folks at Roosevelt and Madison in South Oak Cliff. But he does. And I want to say that publicly, that I know where you are, and you said something. But now let me address some other issues. Now, the chief, you came up, and come back up, chief, just one more time, because we're going to deal with this. Trust me, Mr. Wortham, Roy, Maud, Ms. President of NAACP, everybody, we're going to deal with this, okay? And we're going to put our personal hands and guide us along this, because it's a tragedy. Now, chief, as far as the city is concerned, you've charged him with the highest that we could charge him with.
He can receive up to life in prison if and when convicted.
And if it were to be a hate crime, would that even take it higher? Or?
This is the highest charge beyond capital punishment you can charge someone with.
Okay, so we've charged. It's very important that we understand that the charge and the highest charge has been given. So the attempted murder thing would only give him a lesser charge.
Only 10 years in prison is the maximum for attempted murder.
So it's a no-brainer here for us to know that, number one, that this man in the city has charged him with the highest. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, and I've been reading through this, and it's really something to see this 8-year-old kid shot by this guy with a shotgun. And where I'm going to go with this, one thing that I think that we need to learn from this that we can assist this 8-year-old kid is stepping up and turning up the volume on these guns. And here's a crazy man that has access to a gun, yet another gun, and the issue has been a national issue as related to guns. And from Washington, D.C., our president and everybody else have been dealing with the NRA on these guns. And I think, in his honor, that we should turn up the volume. Remember when Brady got shot in Washington? Well, they came up with the Brady Law. Well, I think that what we should do is so that we can really help this kid and others, we need to turn up the heat on these guns. That's my understanding, that this man is crazy. And has issues, but he still had access to guns. Mm-hmm. And then the apartment complex, they should have better security and ingress and out as related to who comes on their property. So we have something here that I think that's beyond Mr. Allen and that's beyond the city, but I think collectively we the city should begin to get behind and do rally to make sure that we address the bigger issue. The bigger issue is just like the other guy that shot the people up in Washington or wherever he was. He went and rented a gun and killed 13 people. Rented a gun. And where we tell kids about the danger of guns, but yet here comes the boogerman and shoots this kid in the face with a gun. This kid is traumatized the rest of his life. Not only been disfigured, but he is traumatized. He's only 8 years old. He hadn't reached the great age of 13 yet, 18 of becoming an adult, trying to get him a little girlfriend and a wife when he turns 21 in a very disfigured way. What I do think, and I do support us creating some type, and Mayor, you have to chime in with us, and I know that you will. There's nobody more passionate than this mayor over here when it comes down to doing things to help benefit and make people's lives a better quality throughout the society. What we need to do, and I charge all council members, this is a case that stands out by itself like a sore thumb. I also challenge and ask the media, let's get behind this thing and make sure that, one, the man stays in jail, and two, we turn up the heat from the NAACP, from everybody else, and tear everybody against these doggone guns. It's the gun that had the effect on his life. He didn't get slapped in the face. He got disfigured. He's disfigured for life. He has to go to the fair in a disfigured manner, and he has to look and continue being educated around little kids that's going to have an effect on him the rest of his life. So I'm only calling to say, Mayor, their request, one, I think they should understand, and they do, that the charges that have been made are the highest of what we can do. So we need to forget the attempted murder charge, and we need to wrap our arms around the charges that have been already laid out on this guy that's currently in jail. Number two, I do believe that we should be very supportive, and I know that our mayor is compassionate. I know that Jerry is compassionate. I know this council is compassionate. I know every individual that's listening to the sound of our voice. Now that we have put this out to the level as to where it is, I think it will begin at that time to get the necessary publicity and support from this day. That's why I commend you all for coming down here. I know that Roy Williams was very passionate, and he's very passionate with his delivery, and he's very frustrated. But Roy is doing a tremendous job. We understand that and doing it, and we're going to be supportive of him. And but we do know that his compassion kind of showed like mine showed today and yesterday. I'm very passionate at times, and I have to apologize to my counsel at times when I get out of line. But I want to say to you all and to the chief, you've done your job. That's number one. So thank you for that. I think that we need to deliver, as I read through this, crisis intervention and everything. Let
me interject on that point. Mr. Williams brought up two things that we try to convey to him again that we've already done about assistance to the family. There's a victim assistance counselor under the police department's Crimes Against Persons Division who has spoken to the family. We ensured that process happened and the application for any funds for medical payments or other support counseling services for the child that might be needed later. All of that is in process of being applied for by this family. Every and anything they qualify for, the department will ensure that they get through our victim assistance counselor.
Okay.
And conveyed that to the family. Mr. Williams was present. I don't know that he heard us on the charges or heard us on this because of, whatever issues going on.
And I know you've done. Let me ask you now, is the kid conscious and all of that?
Sometimes he is, but he's not open to discussing. There are certain ways we interview children. We try to get them to our Children's Advocacy Center here in Dallas and get some forensic interviewers that are trained specifically to interview kids who have had this kind of trauma. And so we're working through that at the pace of the victim.
All right, and I would close just one second, Mayor. I would ask Jerry, that if I can be a part of your team while we're moving forward, we will see to it to the best of our ability, to make sure that we reach out and do every single thing that we can do and then assist you with the other things, and I'm speaking to the attorney, to the entire body, that we can do to help open up doors as from here to Washington, from anywhere, whatever it is you feel that we need to do, that we can. I want you all to know that the support is there. This kid got help, and he's going to get the help. I think that this was a good discussion to bring about the discussion and open the door as to what the next step should be and what the city of Dallas will be. I do want to say that this mayor, but especially Jerry, they got our back on this issue, and I'm not going to let the door get closed, and I'm not going to have a hard fight trying to help keep it open. So thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, there are many issues that are raised by this tragedy, but the thing that I'd ask you to focus on is listen to what the family is asking for. Larry Friedman is a friend and a really good advocate, and I know a little bit about this case. This is a family that doesn't have great means, but what they are asking us to do is not to focus on them so much as focusing on how our city treats the most vulnerable of our crime victims and people who have limited means. And I think that's entirely appropriate. This body has done a good job of demonstrating humane treatment for our citizens, and this is another opportunity for us to examine those issues. I'm impressed by the family. They could ask us for a lot of stuff, but they're really more concerned about how the city treats people in these difficult circumstances. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Mr. Atkins.
You know, Greg, you know, just said a prayer to the family, and I know what the family is probably going through right now. It's always about the kid, you know, and how do you surround yourself to embrace that child when tragedy happens. You know, we never do know when tragedy is going to occur in your family next door to you. I just want to say one thing about my colleague, Jerry Allen. You know, I know Jerry always said one thing. He have a whole lot of apartments in his district and a whole lot of residents. And he always said those apartments, the people who live in those apartments, is more important than the people who live in the residence. He always said that. The kids who live in those apartments is more important than one who live in the residence. And many times he always said, you know what? If I only can get some money to get that rubber tire trolley, and I can pack those kids up in that trolley and take them to a rec center or somewhere out of danger. And I was thinking here and visualizing, you know what? Suppose on that day that rubber tire trolley came by there and picked that little kid up and took him somewhere else to play safely. We need to, and we must, protect our children and also the family. You know, the family need help, and I'm here to help in a way I can to support Jerry and the city of Dallas. And I think our colleagues here, when you reach out to someone, we got open arms. I think with a big D, we big in Dallas and we do big things. And when you come down here, we are listening to you, but we are going to help. And those things that you asked about the DJ Day, the crime victim, the crime task stuff, I think that's something that Chief Brown's going to do anyway. That's something we already have in that toolbox. But we are here to help you and the family. We are a great city. We will be a great city. We're not like other cities. We will do what is necessary. But again, when this did happen, Jerry came to me and told me that this was going to become here today. They're going to speak about this issue. It's going to be hard for us to digest this issue with the passion that we knew was going to happen today. We knew about that. It's not like we did not know. So, Jerry, thank you for bringing me up to speed and made me stay here to listen to what's going on. Again, with Mr. Carraway, whatever I can do, Mr. Carraway, you can call me, Jerry. I got your back. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. Chief Brown, can you come back up? I just have a couple of questions. First of all, while Chief Brown is coming, Ms. Allen is very, very passionate about
his district, and there's a part of his district, and this is the part of the district that he continued to talk about, that he need more funding to do more things to help with those individuals in that community. And so, Mr. Allen, I know that Mr. Allen is passionate about that part of the district. Let me ask you this. On the Victims Against Crime, is there enough money to help eventually, say that the family want to take him overseas or somewhere here to help with the face, to deal with the face and getting it back in place? There are certain countries that can deal with the face and putting the face or the lips or the nose back together to some degree. Is there enough money for that?
There is funding for medical costs. I'm not so sure if overseas is part of the funding, but I can tell you this, if he needs certain things related to plastic surgery, I think that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's funding for all the medical costs if they don't already qualify for some other type of assistance, and that's the only thing that if he qualifies for other social services, then the victim services funding won't overlap that. It'll just be in addition to that.
Well, I think, Chief, what we might, and I don't know whose responsibility to do this, I don't know, but if we could find a plastic surgeon or someone to step up to the table once the face is somewhat healed a little, to donate some in-kind, to do some type of plastic surgery on the mouth, the nose, and whatever, to get it to some degree, Mr. Allen, I think that's because I don't know the degree of the family finance, but looking at the picture, that's number one. We got to find something to get his face back to some degree where he can feel comfortable by himself. So I don't know if there's enough money in that particular pot that you're talking about to do that.
It's a state fund, so I'm sure it has its limitations.
It has limitations.
It covers all crime victims.
Okay. And so the next thing, I guess, Mr. Allen, we need to find out how much would it cost, or can we find some type of plastic surgeon who would donate in-kind service? And I'm pretty sure they will if once it's out there and people know about it. I think that some doctor would step up to the table and say, look, we will perform surgery on this young bright child to get him back to feeling good about himself. I think that's what needs to happen, number one. And then number two, Mr. Allen, I think that I think we would support you if you want to go to Austin with a rally of people standing behind you just to talk about, and like Mr. Carraway said, some of these gun laws, to say, look, we got to deal with something when it comes to gun, and let me say this, I don't think we can take them off the market, but at least have something in place, and I don't have the answer, but at least to show the state legislature that what this little boy's face looked like. I mean, it's awful to see that, and then to take it before the state house and say, look, we have to do something with this gun law. That's number two. And then the last thing, two more things, and I'll be finished, Mr. Mayor. The management, Chief Brown, those apartments, is it an open gate, closed gate? Can anybody just walk into the apartments?
There's open access to the apartments.
Oh, really?
But this management company has worked very well with the police department. They've worked very well with Mr. Allen's office. These are neighborhoods, and we treat them as such. The people are very responsive to our community policing model.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of after-school things for kids.
Mm-hmm.
These kids felt comfortable playing that day outside in the apartment complex. There's no fear that violence would happen. Violence came to that apartment that day. We believe it was something that was random. We don't believe anything supports that it was planned or he was targeted in any kind of way. There's no evidence of that at this point. We're continuing to investigate. If we have any evidence of that, we'll say so. But at this point, we believe it was a random act of violence.
Well, based on what has happened, so it won't happen to another child,
right,
have you suggested to the management team that they have some type of, you know, those gates where you can use your, if you live there, you have a keypad or something where you touch the little deal and the gate's open. Have you suggested that to them?
We're suggesting a lot of security measures, but let me explain the circumstances here is that the suspect was visiting someone he knew in the apartment complex.
Oh.
And so that Gates wouldn't have prevented someone visiting someone they know in the apartment complex.
He was there visiting someone.
Yes. So it's a random act of violence. And we continue to talk with management companies throughout the city, particularly there, about increased security measures they can take. And they're very responsive.
Okay. And then the last thing, so to recap, Mr. Allen, you know, I think we can work to try to find somebody who will do in kind to help him long term. Number two, go to the state legislature to let them know about gun violence, if you choose to. I'm not saying that you have to. And then the last thing, I know the holidays are coming up, and last year you had a Christmas party for kids in your district. And I saw the boxes with toys and stuff everywhere. If you want to make a special something for this year, please let me know, and I will participate so this young man can have at least a happy, happy Christmas. Okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First off, thank you, Chief, for all you're doing in this case, and I know you're working diligently to make things right. Mr. Allen, thank you for what you've done in your district and how you take up for the people there. And I know this hurts you big time. And to Mr. Caraway, you're always there, buddy. Thank you. I'd like to say to Mr. Friedman, thank you, sir, for what you came up with. We need to lift this young man up. And that's some suggestions you gave might be the way to do it. He needs to know he's important. And he means something to us and to this world. Everybody's not bad, and he needs to know we care about him. And so there's some things that you came up with that we might be able to do and help him with. And as he gets better, and bring him out maybe in the public eye and say, this young man's a hero. And I'll be talking with Chief Brown and the mayor on this to see if we can in some way do that. And, Chief, maybe there's some public interest groups out there that have not been contacted that could be, and I don't know who or where they are, but that could help us funding this young man's hospital stay and whatnot if we don't have enough.
Okay.
So I'd like to maybe we look into that. But thank each and every one of you for bringing this forward and to us. And I assure you, this means something to us, and we will be looking after it and try to get this young man back on track because he does mean something to us. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Mr. Allen.
I'd just like to thank my colleagues for your comments, your passion, your caring. It's one of the things about being on Dallas City Council for a few years and being able to work with you guys. And it's just it's an honor. It's an honor, and to be able to work with you and be your friends. You're exactly right. You stayed a little extra long, and I'll never forget that. You know, kind words and such. I'll never forget it. That's what it's about here. Sometimes it looks like we fight a lot here at City Hall, but the reality is these are all our brothers and sisters. We argue a little bit, but we've sure put our arms around them, and you saw the way they stood up. Just an unfortunate, senseless situation. There is an account that's been set up, First Convenient Bank. I'm going to give this to the news media to make sure that y'all can get this information out as far as the donations and such. We'll rally the troops. We'll rally the troops. Ms. Davis, you're exactly right. We want to get this young man back to full strength, and Mr. Caraway, on that 13th, 20th birthday and such, get him pride, have that pride, and then being able to just show the love. So, but we will get this out to the press and make sure y'all can get it out and do that and help us with that. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. I will be working with you, Mr. Allen, and I echo everybody's comments about your heart and your hard work in your district. But I would like to work with you to see how best we can help, and my office can and myself can be of assistance. We'll take on anybody around this council that to lift this young man up. Two other things. One is, Chief, what's your sense of how the DA's office is dealing with our recommendation?
Very strongly. The bond request speaks volumes. To get a $2 million bond on this means they listened to us when we filed these charges and acted appropriately with a high bond.
Great, because a lot of citizens don't understand that sometimes, you know, we'll do the police work and then we pass it to the DA's office and they'll do the prosecuting work.
Yes.
At the county.
Yes.
Thank you. And the last thing I want to say, this is a good time to say it, that one of the great assets that we have in the city of Dallas is the Dallas Children's Advocacy Center. The professionals that work with these children are truly awe-inspiring. Because as we were speaking earlier, the tragedies that face our children day in and day out in this city are just are so bad. And any way we can support that organization, I know we take space there and we lease space for them, and you work hand in glove with
them.
We do.
Our detectives are assigned to that center there, and we work hand in hand with all the professionals, all the counselors who are civilians, especially trained to interview children in situations like this.
And if you care about children, spending some time there and listening to those professionals makes you feel great. Lastly, for those speakers, I want everybody to understand exactly what happened here with Mr. Williams. I've got an unbelievable respect for he and Mr. Crenshaw. And as you saw me, I was trying to kind of bend the rules for his speaking, and I'd love to do that when that happens. The purpose of public speaking is not to get a dialogue, and whenever we start to do that, that's dangerous, and that's why I recess. But have a lot of respect for him and for this issue. Thank you all for coming down for this important issue. With that, we will take up our consent agenda. Ms. Rios.
If I may first go ahead and go to the minutes.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Item number one is approval of minutes of the September 25, 2013 council meeting.
We have a motion and a second, Mr. Vedetta.
Thank you.
Mr. Atkins. Any edits? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. And for the record, the city council did reconvene at 10:17. For your consent agenda, you have agenda items numbers 2 through 22 and addendum items number 1 and 2. Agenda item number 7 has been deferred by Councilmember Hill. Pulled for individual consideration are agenda items 8, 11, 17 by Councilmember Kingston and agenda item number 20 by Councilmember Kleinman. Therefore, for your consideration, you have agenda items number 2 through 6, 9 and 10, 12 through 16, 18 and 19, 21, 22, and addendum items number 1 and 2.
Well, and a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. We'll take item 4.
Thank you. Understand you want to go to agenda item 20?
20.
20? Thank you. Agenda item number 20 is authorized number 1. An increase in the contract with Sedalco Metalmen Design Build Corporation, a joint venture, to provide for signage, fire suppression system, fire lanes, fire alarm systems, and emergency lighting at the covered arenas, communications conduits, switchgear for kitchen equipment, and revised domestic water lines at the Texas Horse Park in the amount of $581,700. Number 2, the receipt and deposit of funds from the Texas Horse Park Fund of the Dallas Foundation in the amount of $350,000, and number 3, the establishment of appropriations in the Texas Horse Park Fund of the Dallas Foundation in the amount of $350,000. The item was pulled by Councilmember Kleinman.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything, Ms. Kleinman?
Yeah.
Okay. Please, go ahead, Ms. Kleinman.
Thank you. I pulled this item for individual consideration. because I would like to remind the council as well as inform the new members of the council a little brief history of this project. This project was originally approved in a city bond for $15 million, and that bond was contingent on matching funds coming from the private sector. The private sector spent 7 years and was unable to raise the money, the matching component of this. Nevertheless, the council proceeded to approve the project, and the city has already allocated $15 million to this project without any matching funds. We're now being asked to approve general obligation funds, which is, for those, just a brief reminder, that is actually borrowing on behalf of the city without the permission of the voters. Typically, that is used for more emergency situations. And as far as I'm really concerned, I really don't care what the source of these additional funds are coming from. I feel like $15 million commitment on the part of this city is enough on this project. And so, therefore, I would like to entertain a substitute motion that removes the city's general obligation fund component of $471,700 from this motion. Thank you.
It's not a substitute motion. It would be an amendment to this.
Sorry, right? An amendment to this motion.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
So give it to us again.
I'd just like to remove, I'd like to make an amendment to this motion that removes the item of $471,700 of the city's general obligation.
A point of order. Who made the initial motion?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said it's an amendment to this item. And you're making a motion. No, there is no motion.
I'm sorry. Amendment. I would like to amend this item.
Not the motion.
He's doing that right now. He's making a motion to amend this item to say what you just said.
That removes the city's general obligation funds of $471,700.
Okay. Thank you. So we got that right. Do we have a second to that? For lack of second, the motion dies. Do we have a motion on this item? Ms. Davis.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. I would like to move forward with agenda item number 20 for the Texas Horse Park. I think this is a good item. We're close to finishing out this horse park. It was in Councilmember Buzzell Hill's district, and now it's in my district through redistricting. And so I think she has done a good job in keeping the horse park and working with the city intact together. And so now we're almost at the finish line. So we need to move forward with the Texas Horse Park.
So you had a motion and a second for this item. Further discussion, Mr. Atkins.
Yeah.
You okay?
Gia, will you come forward, please? You know, we talk about a horse park, and I know it's been up and down, and we also talk about Pleasant Grove. I know at one time there was four council members representing Pleasant Grove, you know, Dwayne Carraway, Von Seal, and Carolyn Davis, myself, and we always said, where's the gateway? And during this time, you know, I think we got a great gateway there on 45 and Trinity Trail. And we know we do have a great golf course that's coming there. AT&T is doing their partnership with the First Tee. We also know SMU with their golf departments is going to be there. But also, we are talking about a gateway off of 45 and 20. But when you talk about that gateway, if you look at the south side of the Trinity there on Loop 12, you will see that we have 18 holes proposed on that south side. But on the north side, we also see we got 9 holes, which is the First Tee, and SMU going to have their golf practice facilities there. So when you look at that, now you are connecting the horse park to the golf course. We also connecting that to 20 to make sure you got those 4 miles of trail. The AT&T is putting money to have our trail to go through the horse park all the way to White Rock Lake. The reason I'm saying that, it is a gateway. It is something that Pleasant Grove needs, and we see the infrastructure of the 175 going to Pemberton Hill. We see the infrastructure on the road from Trinity going to Pemberton Hill North. You see all of that. But when we talk about funding, there is funding we are trying to do, but this money that we had the same problem when we were doing a project on a horse trail. And when I say we had a problem, we had was with the fire department. The fire department changed their code. And when they change their code, there is an expense, and you got to pay for it. And Gia, can you tell us about why are we taking this money, which is for science, that we can't do the science, but we need to take this money to pay for the fire sprinkler, because the city of Dallas said you got to have this, and there's not going to be a project in the future we're going to pay it to do this. Will you kind of walk us through this?
Right. So the issue is the fire suppression requirements for the arenas there. The architectural firm had meetings with the building inspection and fire marshal's offices last fall to try to line up what the requirements were for what we call an open-air arena. And in the horse business, that means there are no walls. There's a roof, but it's open to the sides. I can't tell you exactly what happened, but at one point it looked like we were going to have requirements to put in a sprinkler system. At the next meeting, they said we didn't, so we prepared the plans without it. You all approved that we went to bid. We got our bids in without a fire sprinkler system. The contract was awarded. We went for our building to get our building permit, and they said you need a fire sprinkler system. We spent all summer going around and around between building inspection, the architectural firm, and the fire marshals, and in the final analysis, they decided that we would be better off to have a fire suppression system. I try to make lemonade out of the lemons, and so while this system is going to cost, you know, around $480,000 to put it in, it's going to give us a facility that is more flexible. So right now, what we're getting is a metal roof, metal all around, dirt floor, but with the fire suppression system, we will be able to bring in flooring. If somebody wanted to have a big gala for thousands of people and have a dance floor, you could have a concert, you could have the fireworks going off, you won't have to have fire watches and all of that. So it makes our facility more marketable and more flexible. So that's kind of the advantages. So how are we going to pay for this? We looked over at the Loop 12 Gateway project. The Loop 12 Gateway project was planned quite some time ago, long before the golf course. We were going to do improvements there at Audubon. We were going to put streetlights down the road. And the centerpiece of it was this very large sign that was going to go in the median of Loop 12, now Great Trinity Forest Way. And we prepared the plans. We took it to TxDOT, and they said you can't put it in there. So at this point, we've got we have the extra money, and so we could move it over to the horse park, get a better arena that can be used for more kinds of events, and have a win-win.
Thank you for that. And we talked about the Great Trinity Parkway. I know the Texas Hardport Foundation. I know that Mr. Bankston, you know, just recent, you know. Wrote a check to the city of Dallas, only received a check for, it was going to be for $200,000, now with $350,000. So now we see the foundation, we do see the people out there who is saying, hey, you are doing something. We are turning dirt, you know. Since we are turning dirt at the horse port, now you see the foundation say, oh, we believe it's going to help, and I think our matching fund's going to be there. It's hard to visualize a horse port in Pleasant Grove, but whoever thought you could visualize a golf course in Pleasant Grove in South Dallas. So I think it's going to be a great project, colleagues. I urge you to embrace this because it's in Pleasant Grove. It also, it's going to bring economic opportunity. It's going to bring economic opportunity. I hear times and times again, we live in Dallas, Texas. We do not have a horse trail. We do not have no regular riding horses, and we full be the big D. And everybody said, when I go overseas, said, hey, what about JR? You know, what is Big Dallas? I mean, where's the horses? Where's the cowboys? And when you go to the Umna Hotel, they want to go see horses or riding, and we don't have nothing to show. So I think it's a great opportunity, a great economic impact to the city of Dallas. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. And just a couple questions for you, Jill. When did we vote on the horse park? When was that vote that we approved?
For awarding the construction contract, I want to say it was right around the 1st of May, end of April.
And,
is that right, Louise? 22nd of April, May.
How are we coming along on the operator agreements? Have those been finalized, everything signed?
The operating agreements have all been signed. We are still working on the exhibits. The city has finally finalized where we want the turnout pastures to be. We've given the exhibits to the two operators, and we're waiting on them to sign it.
I always get nervous when the agreements are signed, but the exhibits are still out there. So how soon until we get everything papered up with the exhibits and get the operator signed up?
I don't know. It's just we haven't been pressing them on it. So
what's your timeline?
Well, we probably have it in the next month, I'd say.
The next month, okay. And you're confident with our operators, they've got the financial wherewithal to pull this off, and they don't have any litigation risks or anything else that's going to pose any problems? You're absolutely confident?
Right. They're both doing great. And River Ranch, just so that you know, will start moving horses out there this winter so that they are accustomed to the topography. So everybody is going.
So certainly we'll get the exhibits wrapped up and the final agreement all papered up before they move the horses out.
Right.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Ms. Gates.
I just have a question for Jill related to Mr. Clement's comment. With the private funding, is that it's still in play? Is it? What's the obligation there?
So the Texas Horse Park Foundation, so right. Yet a third entity that we have contract with, and theirs is fully executed because there are no exhibits. They have raised around, I'm going to use very general numbers, around $500,000. We asked them to hold part of that back as a backstop for operations in case either Equest or River Ranch needed it for a five-year period. The other half we ask for as a contribution towards construction. So this is accepting the first part of that. So they still have some money in their account that they are holding on our behalf in case the two operators need it for operating backup for 5 years. At the end of the five-year period, we can use that money for additional improvements out at the horse park.
So this commercial paper will just turn into bond debt?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we just use the commercial paper for kind of just-in-time, short-term, and then when our finance folks get enough of it together, then they clear out the commercial paper, sell the bonds, and start over on commercial paper. Thank you.
You done? Thank you. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. And Ms. Gates, that's a good question that you had. Just bring me some clarity. First of all, I do support this horse park, so let me be real clear. But there are a couple of things I want to make mention and say. But bring me some clarity about the matching funds. Now, we put up the whole $15 million. The matching funds, of the matching funds has not been met.
Right. So we had originally just under $3 million funds in the 98 bond program for the horse park.
Right.
So the idea of horse facilities was with the project from the get-go.
Right.
Roll it forward to 2006, the Texas Horse Park Foundation thought that they would be able to raise $15 million very rapidly.
Okay.
And so our deal with them was we'd put in 15, they'd put in 15.
Okay.
Our 15 was made up of 98 funds and 2006 funds,
okay.
Which is why we ended up with $12 million on the 06 bond program.
Okay.
So They started trying to raise the money. We had the economy tanked. They then had difficulty raising the money. We ended up in a chicken and egg situation in which the donors weren't sure that we were going to follow through on our end, and so they would say, we're not giving money until the city begins construction. We were not going to begin construction until they had the money. So at some point we said, you know what, we're done with this. We've waited around, and we found these two nonprofits, River Ranch and Equest, and we decided to go a different way and work with them as opposed to the foundation, which was going to be the operator of the facility.
Okay. So I guess my next question, before we made the move and they promised and they found that they couldn't raise, what happened to the money that they did raise?
So their money is in a foundation, and they've got around a half a million plus or minus. And so our agreement with them is that we would spend part of it during this phase of construction and hold some of it for operational backstop for River Ranch and Equest.
So of the $15 million matching commitment, they only raised how much?
Half a million, roughly.
Half a million. And we're in control of that half a million?
Well, they're in control. It's their money, but
are they still obligated?
They still are
obligated to this project.
Yes.
And have we spent any of that money yet? Of that?
No, because this agenda item takes the first of that money and begins spending that money with this agenda item.
Okay. Now, going back to TxDOT, what was that money?
So that was the
for TxDOT.
Yeah, that was the Loop 12 Gateway project.
Okay.
And when we kind of allocated, we roughly have $3 million for that project. And when we were trying to determine what the scope of that project was, we knew that we wanted to fix the road at Audubon, the entrance, put in a traffic signal, line it up with the road across the street, make it wider so it'll be like a boulevard going in. We knew that we needed street lighting along there. You all in that area have talked a long time about the curve and accidents and how dark it is across there, so we knew we wanted to do streetlight improvements. And then the final thing that we wanted at the time was to put in some kind of monument piece. Mm-hmm. What that giraffe is to the zoo on 35, we thought we could have something monumental that would announce, here's the Trinity Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And so we prepared plans for you could call it a sign, you could call it artwork, but a large piece, and we sent it over to TxDOT, and they said we couldn't put it in.
Okay. And Mr. Atkins, and I recall the big debate that we had years ago about the signage and the big monument. And it was such a debate that it took a long time for us to make sure that we were putting some type of a landmark. I remember the discussion quite vividly because we wanted people coming in from Houston and folks coming in from out of town to be able to identify where the Audubon and the now golf course and the Texas Horse Park would be. And that was a major, major discussion. And I guess now I wonder, why is it now that I learned, and I'm a little slow at times, that TxDOT declined our request? Is this the first that we've made it known that TxDOT declined that request? And so, I mean, I have a concern, the fact that years ago we had a major discussion and a major debate about something, and then I find out today that TxDOT has declined that, and that means that debate that we had, we walked away feeling that we were going to have this. Okay. All right. Okay. So, I mean, that's somewhat of a mayor. If we discussed something 4 years ago, and then we find out 4 years later that it's not happening, and nobody said anything that this project is not going to happen, and we had a very vigorous debate before this new council and before you were mayor, we had a knockdown drag out about the Loop 12 and the fact that we needed to have something there such as the giraffe. And was that the only place that we could have had some form of identification? Does TxDOT, I know that they control certain things. Could we not have moved it other areas?
Well, we could have moved it.
Shot that we
could have moved it off the roadway onto our property, but then it sits low and it wouldn't be as noticeable.
But even though it sits low, could we not have raised it to some elevation? Here's where I am. As I sit here on the council and I debate something a few years ago, and then I put in my mind that this is going to take place, and then now today it said that big debate is all about nothing because TxDOT said it could not take place. And was that the only option that we had? I'm trying to get beyond what we can't do and find what we can do. And if we voted on something to be done, I think that it is right for us to be able to be instructed or brought up to date that what we discussed and approved and we were looking forward to cannot happen. It's like expecting something for your birthday and all of a sudden you say, well, what you thought was in the box is not in the box. And you only find that out at your birthday. I'm not being critical of what we're doing, but I am being, I am being in my right opinion, not knowing that what we approved and were expecting is not happening. And now we're just going to take the money that we had set aside for that and to do something else. I think my citizens that elected me, I have the right to speak on their behalf to say, hey, look, what happened? Joppa's over there expecting something, and everybody took part in this debate. I mean, do you recall that debate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I want to get beyond that. I'm not putting you on the line. I'm not trying to, but I want to get beyond the oh, yeah. And I want to get beyond the point of understanding the responsibility that we have to be made aware of when there are major changes that the citizens are looking forward to, that it does not just show up the day of a vote. Yeah. And we get it from the mayor. That's just not right. I'm supportive of this horse park. I'm supportive of everything. But now somebody needs to come and talk to me and tell me, well, what's our next alternative? And do we just scrub the plan that we had on Loop 12? Remember, this is in the southern sector. This was supposed to be something that when the visitors and people are riding in from Corsicana and everywhere else, just as they run past the zoo, the problem that we had in competing with Fort Worth was that people didn't know where our zoo was. Well, when you go down Loop 12 coming in, when you come into on 45, you don't know what's on the left that has to offer in the southern sector, and you don't know what's on the right. So it's plain and clear that we need to have some type of monumental signage of some type of indication to say, hey, look, we got a golf course over here, we got the horse park over here, we got the Audubon over here, but people are just going to pass us by. And this was a very serious debate. So where I'm supportive, but what I want to do is figure out what I want to know, and I'm going to move forward. But what I want to know is what's going to take the place of what we approved that is now being that we're not going to do for the purpose that we had intended in that back in that debate.
But I would say signage is very important. Would you please get back with us on that?
But Mayor, I want them to get back, but I want them to get back with knowing that that's something that's a must. We, the council, look forward to that. And we had a debate about it. And I'm just not going to just let it go to say, okay, what about science? Do we have an idea of something else that can be done to help fix up what we talked about, what I'm up here blundering over?
Well, now that we have the golf course, there's an opportunity. I think we're going to be able to have more clout with TxDOT to get regular highway signs that are based on how many visitors go to a particular destination, so that we can get regular highway signs delineating the golf course and the forest and the horse park area.
Well, I would like to keep it. I would like to do whatever is going to take, Mayor, and I'm going to close it. But you just can't close something that we voted on. That's not happening.
No, I'm not closing. I want it to come back. Signage is very important.
I want to make sure that all know that I want you all to give with me, and let's figure out what we're going to do to replace what we told the voters in public and on record that we were going to have, that we're telling them now today that we're not going to have. I think that is due process for the folks to understand and know what the expectations are. And I'd like to have some immediate conversation about it. And let's figure out what we're going to do, because I'm not going to put it on the shelf. What we voted on and what we told the people is what we should do, and we should find another alternative way to get it done.
Thank you, Ms. Caraway. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to make a clarification that I thought I heard something that Mr. Kleinman said. We are not using COs on this, Certificates of Obligation, which doesn't require a public vote. We're using GO bonds, right?
We're using commercial paper.
But that's related
to GO bonds. It's not
COs, which are certificates of obligation, which the public doesn't vote on. We're using commercial paper as a process through which we get funding for the GO bonds, which is a public vote.
Right.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. I probably wasn't paying attention.
Jill, you mentioned the chicken and egg and how we went forward because, you know, we had this project on the bond program. They weren't raising the money. Now that we've made our commitment with our public taxpayer dollars, are they raising money?
The Horse Park Foundation, their board has met recently, and they are beginning to gear up to work on it. So they have ended up in a position where they are the kind of booster club fundraiser for the horse park in general.
They are the what? I'm sorry.
The booster club, the fundraiser.
The booster club.
You know, the friends of that kind of, they've assumed that kind of role. And they can raise money for either organization or the horse park in general. Both River Ranch and Equest can also raise money. Equest is, I think they're soon to start a capital campaign for their facilities. River Ranch functions a little bit different than most nonprofits. They don't really solicit contributions. They're the model where they're operating, and they turn their profits back into their nonprofit. So River Ranch has already begun their investment of getting the horses, training the horses. That's happening right now. They're doing their equipment, buying their equipment and that kind of thing. So they're doing their piece financially, but they don't really raise money in the traditional sense that we kind of think of nonprofits as doing.
Do we ever intend to hold the Texas Horse Park group to the $15 million that they originally said they were going to do at some point in time? Or have we just completely dismissed our expectation that they will meet that commitment?
I guess we've done something in between. What we've created out at the horse park is a facility that can stand on its own, and we don't need anything else. It can function. It can have the kinds of events that are called for. If we wanted to grow the facility to go after larger horse shows, which was the original idea of the horse park, then at that point, additional money is going to need to be raised. And I would think at that point that we would turn back to them and say, you know what, you all were supposed to do the $15 million. You need to step up to the plate. So our contract just speaks to our obligation is this phase one. and it speaks to the ability of any or all of the three groups to raise additional funds for things in the future. And then, of course, we have SMU as a potential fourth partner, and I think they are, when we were talking to them initially, they were talking about doing it on their own.
You know, Joe, I'm not talking about Equest and River Ranch. I'm talking about the Horse Park Group that said they were going to give us $15 million as a private contribution toward this project. And when you say that we would expect that if we grow and do a phase two, that we would turn to them and we would say, where's the money? I've got to tell you, since we've never held them to any kind of expectation that they are actually going to produce it, why would I think, based on what you said, that we'd get money out of them the next time? I don't expect you to answer that. I'm just saying I think you're wildly optimistic, but I hope you're right. I hope they can raise some money. And when you said we hope to grow, does that mean there's really not a cap on what the city of Dallas is going to put into this if we do a phase two or if we continue to grow this horse park?
Well, at this point, I really think it's going to be a function of what River Ranch, how they operate and what they want to do in terms of growing. Because at this point, River Ranch is the one that is operating the horse park. So when we, back in 2006, it was the Texas Horse Park Foundation that was going to be the operator. They were going to be the controlling. They were going to probably what they were going to do is hire a company to operate it on their behalf. But the contract would have been between the city and Texas Horse Park Foundation to run what we called the Convention Center for Horses and have all the horse shows. And, mm-hmm. and it was much more of a convention center for horses than it was. It had that phase had no Equest. It had no you know, charity kind of things.
Yeah.
And so we've kind of changed it around to make it more focused on the citizens of Dallas as opposed to conventioneers and horse shows and that kind of stuff. River Ranch, however, has now assumed that position where they can do horse shows. And the arena that is being built is large enough that we can do small horse shows. So if they get in and see that it's that they can function, make money to turn back into programs for our citizens, and so basically we have a nonprofit operator of the horse park, then, you know, who knows what direction we might want to go in the future after they prove themselves that they can do, you know, this line of work. But I think they're going to have to prove something to all of us.
Well, I think that staff and everybody's been very creative in how they've moved forward with this horse park. I just go back to, I would really like to see us hold people to the commitments that they make to us. And I don't think that's been done in this case. But I really would like to see it, and not just in this case, but in other cases. Thank you for all the information, Joe.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. Just as a point of clarification, there is $15 million already being spent on this horse park, so I am just trying to say it's enough spending. I also have a couple questions for you, Jill. I noticed in this item we will be receiving from the Texas Horse Park Fund $350,000, which is, I guess, their kind of first installment towards whatever. I don't understand why we are not using that $350,000 to pay for this, at least some component of this increase in the contract with Sedalco.
We're using $100,000 of the donation amount for this particular change order. The remaining $250,000 we are holding to improve the facilities at Equest and make them more sustainable.
Okay. So I guess my confusion lies in this. Even when we have private money coming in, we're still using city money above and beyond the amount that we had originally agreed to, which was $15 million. So that we can you know, I guess improve some other component of the facility. I think that when you have major projects like this, there are opportunities for cost savings and there are opportunities just to move to build some components. And unfortunately, that is sometimes at the expense of other components. So I would prefer that we use at least the entire $350,000 to reduce the city's component of this change to the contract. I'd also like to ask you to provide the economic justification study that I guess our economic development department did, because I keep hearing this is an economic development project. So what kind of anticipated return do we have, or how much revenue do we anticipate this is going to generate? Could we, someone maybe speak to that study?
Well, the study that I remember was the one that was done about a decade ago. I'm looking over at the Park Department staff. We hired a firm to do an economic analysis of the horse park because at the time we thought we were going to spend about $3 million on basically a trail ride and stable where people could board horses. And the firm was in the equestrian business and helped operators of horse parks analyze the business plans for their horse parks across the country. And I have long since forgotten the name of that company. They prepared a study, and what they said to us was that if we kept it small as just a trail ride and a boarding facility, we would never break even, and it would always be a city subsidy. And that if we wanted to break even, what we would need to do is to have the horse shows. And so that was a major turning point in the whole horse park idea, and that was about almost a decade ago is my recollection.
And do you recall the price tag for the full-blown Texas Horse Park show facility?
They had a grandiose plan of a $100 million facility, and by the time you reached that point, it did include the facilities for Equest and other charities. They had a $30 million level.
And that was kind of the level we were pursuing with 15 for the city,
right,
and 15.
Right. And then they looked at a smaller one. When we were making that decision to switch from the convention center for horses to the nonprofit kind of model, we did an analysis. It was just city staff, and we called to different horse parks around the country to see were they making money or were they losing money. And we did an analysis at that time and gave it to council as to who was making money, who was losing money, who was breaking even. And that's about the only economics that I recall us doing.
Okay. Thank you. I feel that the original $30 million project was, whether it's going to be economically feasible or viable is questionable on its own, but reducing it to $15 million to be out quantity, I think the economic development argument just really goes out the window on this. Nevertheless, the horse park is going forward. I just would like to limit our contribution to it to $15 million. That's my point. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Klein and Ms. Gates.
Thank you.
Yes,
Mayor.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Yo, Ms. Gates, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jill, I recognize that it's going forward, and I think there's going to be a lot of benefit to Dallas. I'm a horse fan. I enjoy riding myself. But it doesn't sound like to me we have a firm budget on what the city is willing to spend with your response to Ms. Grayson. And going forward, it would be helpful when we do have agenda items related to this if we can have like a flow sheet or balance sheet of what we've spent, what maybe anticipation of expenses to be able to get this place up and running so we can have a better idea and be able to make pretty financial informed decisions. And so that's all I'd add, unless you correct me that we do have a firm budget at this point.
We are in construction, so okay. We have a budget, and it will change.
Right. So just going forward, when we are asked to, it would be helpful to know exactly. And I know I'm new to the council and wasn't involved in those initial discussions, but just to have all the financial information would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'll be very brief. Do we still have our Trinity River Committee meetings, Marcel?
Yes, so the...
Every other week? Every other week. Okay, I want to... Jill, give me the date on those, and I think... I just want to make sure I have them. Let me say this. I used to sit on the Trinity River Committee. Out of Jill's credit, they gave us a breakdown on the horse part about 3 years ago. I was not on the last committee, but they have always given us a breakdown in a tally sheet of what the cost is. 3 years ago, we got a cost of what it was going to take to build the horse park, the commitment dollars, and so there was a breakdown. I was not on the last committee that Chair Von Seal Hill chaired, and so I'm pretty sure there was a commitment of a balance sheet and a budget that was broken down on this Texas horse park. Jill, once this is moved forward, I would like to see a briefing at the full council on the horse park, the design, the signage design that Ms. Caraway talked about, and any other things that we plan to do with that horse park. So my colleagues can get a full briefing on how it's going to look, the impact that it's going to make for that area, and some sample design when it comes to signage off of Loop 12 around the horse park and all of that. I think that would be helpful. The other thing that I would like to make sure is naming right. We had talked about naming right of the horse park about 3 years ago, and I don't know where that's at now for naming right.
So the naming rights, all three contracts have clauses for naming rights. They're all parallel. It allows any of the three groups to go after naming rights for the facility and for buildings on the facility or programs at the facility. And because we end up with multiple people, I'm just going to pick up, I'm going to pick on trucks.
Mm-hmm.
You could have the truck, the official truck of the horse park, and if River Ranch gets Ford and Equest gets Dodge, somebody has to make the decision about who's going to be the official truck, and so the city becomes the final decision maker as to where the naming rights go if we end up with a conflict.
Right, and I remember a couple of years ago when I was on the Trinity River Committee, we talked about the naming right and how that money could come back into the coffin or any money that we spent out on the horse park. The other thing, and last thing, Rick and I want to kind of, when you have time, take a tour of the horse park. He's close and I'm close in that area just to kind of see where we're at and what's been done.
Okay.
So we can do that sometime the end of October. Thank you
good.
So much.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway, 30 seconds.
Yes, sir. That's what we're finna do. Tell me about those sprinkler systems. You mentioned something about fire sprinkler.
Fire suppression system. So,
just in short, what do we do?
Well, this is putting in a sprinkler system for the big arenas.
And we, in our bid process, we didn't put it in.
Right, because at the time, the architectural firm did not think we needed to do it.
Okay, I just need us to know that we did not put it in, and we chose to not do that. But I have a problem in my district, and one is that we are going to other little businesses, forcing small businesses to put them in, and we need to figure out how we practice what we preach. Mm-hmm. If it's good for us to not do it for ourselves, then I have some establishments that are being forced to put in sprinkler systems to the tune of
$100,000, and I just want to call that to our attention. I want us to stay safe, but I want us to play fair. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Excellent. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jill, what are they doing for the soil at the horse park?
I assume that you're talking about the blogs that have talked about the contaminated soil at the horse park.
No, ma'am. My understanding that one of the reasons Dallas doesn't have large-scale horse operations is because our soil isn't very beneficial for horses.
And generally, that is true. Horses don't like the clay soil. However, happy days for us. This is a sandy clay soil that's perfect for horses. It also means that ancient native people have used part of this site as a place where they would come in and camp and hunt. And so we've got an archaeological site in the middle of the horse park as a result of having the sandy soil. So it's been in the horse business for a long time, 7,000 years.
Great. Thanks, Jill. Colleagues, I would just point out that we actually have stable operations in Mr. Cadane's district. This is a postcard project, and there's nothing wrong with Dallas. The postcard needs to be pretty, but the argument that it's Dallas, we have to have a place to ride a horse, is sort of unavailing to me. Reminds me of nothing more than when the legislature tried to redesign our license plate, and we wound up with a cowboy in a space shuttle and stars at night and sage and bloom and all this other stuff, and it's not strategic. We want this project started. We want it to be successful, and I think my colleagues have raised a lot of good points about the financing being a barrier to its success. We want to make sure that we remove that barrier. And in the future, let's make sure that we're being strategic about economic development.
Mr. Callahan.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be very brief. This is a very historic area. I don't know if a lot of people have read the history on this. These were actually freedmen, freed slaves who come from the Miller plantations in like 1870. This area was created Joppy in 1872, and it's had a rodeo there for years, and it's horses are definitely in Texas, horses and cows, and I think too many times we allow our good friends to the west to totally capitalize on that. So I think it's something needful. I want to remind the council that we have like 1% of the tax value within the city, and we have no community assets in that area, only the Audubon Center now, which is just west of my district. And our area deserves a catalyst, a stimulus. I think most people are in favor of this project. I, too, believe that we should get a handle on the finances, keep a lid on it. I think $15 million is enough. I don't think that we should have unnecessary fire equipment when there's not an enclosed arena. If there's any way to massage that or eliminate that, I would certainly propose to do that. But our area needs those catalytic projects. The Audubon Center is good. The golf course is good. And also you have that horse park, and I think that begins to draw people to our area, keeps them coming there, and it allows retail development and also residential development to result from that. So I'm certainly in favor of it, but I hope that we can keep a lid on the cost because there's only so many dollars out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? We've got one opposed. Ms. Clement. Thank you. We are next item.
Councilmember Cadane. Kleinman.
Yeah, Kleinman.
I'm sorry, for the record?
Yeah, yeah.
Kleinman.
Kleinman.
Thank you. So. Agenda item number 8 is authorized.
Oh, you said opposed to. Two opposed. I apologize.
Thank you.
Two.
Thank you. Agenda item number 8 is authorized the acceptance of a grant from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security under the Emergency Management Performance Grant Program for the period October 1, 2012 through March 31, 2014. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Mr. Kingston.
Mr. Mayor, the reason I pulled this item is because the description in the agenda was insufficient for me to understand how we're using this money. Could we have an explanation of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. We're using this money as a reimbursement for the salary cost of operating the emergency operations center and the officer emergency management altogether, part of the education outreach component that we do. And well, the total operation is supposed to supply about 50% reimbursement for last year's overall cost. And so we're just accepting the grant that was promised to us last year. And it's this year it's going to be about 40%. It's a little less than 50%, about 40% of the total cost. So we have the general fund obligation we've already spent for the salaries, and this is a reimbursement for that.
Oh, Chief Cato, as we've discussed several times, nobody on this council wants to fail to spend money we need to spend on public safety. But am I right in thinking that this is a program that we are engaged in because of federal mandates, and then we are accepting partial reimbursement from federal tax dollars, yet using city personnel?
Well, it is a federal mandate that we have emergency operations in every jurisdiction. And so we need to have the operation anyway, because not just the federal Homeland Security mandates, but disaster preparedness, disaster mitigation, sheltering operations, things we would have to, or we should do for our citizens as good stewards of the public safety.
Okay. Well, if we need it, we need it, Mr. Mayor, and the motion is to accept the grant as recommended.
We have a second? Second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 7 is authorize a contract with Gilbert May, Inc., DBA Phillips May.
11. We're on 11.
Oh, I'm sorry. Agenda item 11. Thank
okay.
You. Agenda item 11 is authorize a contract with Gilbert May, Inc., DBA Phillips May Corp., best value proposer of 3, for the construction of interior improvements to C lobby and pre-function, lower C meeting rooms, C ballroom, and CDE associated restrooms at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center, Dallas. Councilmember Kingston pulled the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion from Mr. Medrano. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Evans, could we I'm trying to understand. The reason I pulled this item is I'm trying to understand where the convention center is, what it still needs, how much more it's going to cost to get it into a situation in which we think it's going to do the best it can do.
Mr. Kingston, we've made a lot of progress over the last couple of years on making the convention center more fiscally viable. In no particular order, we've gone and renegotiated the Union Station contract with Woodbine and saved several hundred thousand dollars. We did the land exchange with Woodbine to get us real estate that we need and get them real estate that they need. And we walked away with a couple million dollars associated with that land transaction. We were able to sell some land for the Horseshoe project, and we're using that for additional capital costs. The council passed the TPID, which is pumping more than $500,000 in additional tax revenue into the convention center, so that's helping. Plus, we were able to renegotiate the convention center CVB contract, and they gave us another $500,000 for that. Of course, the Omni is helping tremendously in terms of booking, as is the TFID. And then the last thing you guys did was authorize the privatization of Farmers Market, which is saving about $500,000 to $1 million a year. So you add all that together, and the convention center is actually fiscally solvent at this point in time. What you're seeing here today is the part of the prioritization to get the convention center more marketable in terms of its appearance. This is part of a $60 million refunding that the council approved as part of the Omni construction. And this basically addresses the most pressing infrastructure needs of the convention center.
Okay. And so a couple issues around. First of all, you're saying that the operations of the KBH are financially solvent today after we give it about $34 million in taxes?
Yes, the hotel occupancy tax does go to the convention center, yes, sir.
And the second thing is I'm just trying to figure out physically what we still have left to do on KBH that makes it as viable as it can be. We own this thing. We ought to make it I want to make sure that we're supportive of the mission so that we can see if the mission's a success.
Candidly, the convention center, even after all these improvements are made, there's a lot of back-of-the-shop stuff, like electrical, roof repair, painting, tables, chairs, that sort of thing, in the order of tens of millions of dollars, which is why it was very important to first get the convention center fiscally solvent. so that we can start trying to figure out a way to issue additional debt, if need be, to address those needs. Additionally, the state passed an interesting, I'm going to call it a hotel TIF, this last legislative session, that we can use to address additional capital needs at the convention center or any additions, expansions, and that sort of thing. And that's something we're going to be bringing to you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Caraway.
I'll try to make it short, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Ryan Evans, would you all please kindly, and you don't have to do it now, I'll spare you, but give me an update and a report on some things that we had promised that would be done at the convention center, like the convention center arena. We were to redo the convention center arena, and when my first year on the city council, it was my understanding and our agreement that when we tore down Reunion Arena, we were going to redo the convention center arena. So I'd like to get an update on that. Another thing that was promised that we talked about that I voted on and that's not happening. So just give me an update with that, and also give me an update on the Junior Black Academy. In the midst of this construction, what is it that we're doing? And I know we're going to do something, but what is it that we're doing with the Junior Black Academy as related to the expansion and construction of that? Thank you, Mayor. Was that short?
It was excellent. It was probably the best. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 17 is authorize a moving and related expenses non-residential payment for Tip Top Big Dog, Inc., DBA Teeny Bar, who has been displaced as a direct result of real property acquisition of the property at 2224 Elm Street to be used in conjunction with the Central Expressway from Commerce to Live Oak Realignment Project. Councilmember Kingston pulled the item.
Mr. Kingston.
Move to approve, Your Mr. Mayor.
Motion and second. Any discussion?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so please.
Mr. Evans, could we have the total square footage of this joint?
I believe this particular business establishment was approximately 1,400 square feet.
Okay. And we think that it's going to take $77,000 to move it.
We require the individual that is seeking this reimbursement to provide a couple of bids on what it costs to move. These expenses generally include, for a restaurant or bar establishment such as this, refrigeration equipment, coolers, then all the mechanical work associated with relocating that. But yes, sir, we do require them to provide us with two separate bids on this.
And Mr. Cossum, I think we've talked about this before, but it's essentially our ordinance, our city code, that sets a formula for reimbursement. There's not really, we're not deciding that this 1,400 square foot bar is going to cost $77,000 to move. They're going to present us with some invoices and we say, okay.
Yes, sir. We do. Again, we will verify that the business has been relocated as part of this process, but Chapter 39A does set up the process on exactly how we have to handle these relocation
and
expenses.
I think we've seen in some of the relocations related to this expansion of Cesar Chavez and the use of eminent domain colleagues in the expansion of Cesar Chavez, other reimbursement issues like this where city staff has worked within the ordinance that we set for them to be fiscally responsible and to talk some of these owners into really taking less than they could soak us for, to be frank.
Yes, sir. In fact, this was the one I kind of mentioned to you a little bit earlier that perhaps we wanted to hold this for 2 weeks if that is the will of the council.
You know, I think that I'm convinced by that. I forgot we talked about that,
yes,
David.
Sir.
I'll be amending my motion in a minute if it will please the mayor. Anyway, the point of my questions is not to whip the staff. I think
sure.
The staff is trying to do the best they can with the policy we have. What I'm trying to do is point out to my colleagues, again, that when we exercise eminent domain, we are being unrealistic about the costs of exercising eminent domain. It is not just the cost of acquiring property. And we need to think very carefully, particularly downtown, where we want a walkable, bikeable downtown, about expanding streets to satisfy an outdated thoroughfare plan. This is, downtown is not a raceway, no matter how badly I drive. It absolutely is not, and it needs to have a different vision for the future in terms of how we get around downtown. Staff is not to blame for this. Staff is doing a good job with what we gave them to do. This is frankly an area where we need to address policy once again. And Mr. Mayor, if it please you, I'm going to amend my motion to hold this item for 2 weeks.
Who's second? Oh, do you accept that amendment? Okay, so hold over
Thank
for
you,
2 weeks.
Mayor.
Thank any you. Other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 23. It's consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You do have several nominees for appointment. For individual appointment to the Automated Red Light Enforcement Commission, Woodrow W. Austin is nominated by Councilmember Medrano. To the Cultural Affairs Commission, Sylvia Hoagland is nominated by Councilmember Grayson and has Cultural Institute management experience. To the Community Development Commission, James Tim James is nominated by Councilmember Allen. To the City Plan and Zoning Commission, you have Emma S. Rogers, nominated by Councilmember Hill. Greg Gabriel Soto is nominated by Councilmember Medrano. Tony Shadid is nominated by Councilmember Callahan. And Myrtle M. Lovelace is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. To the Dallas Citizens Police Review Board, you have Miriam Dominguez, nominated by Councilmember Medrano. To the Judicial Nominating Commission, Gregory R. Ave is nominated by Councilmember Gates. To the Landmark Commission, Chris Jordan is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Atkins with historic preservation experience. To the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board, Nathan J. Rogers is nominated by Councilmember Carraway. To the Park and Recreation Board, Gene F. Milligan is nominated by Councilmember Hill. Gerald Worrell II is nominated by Councilmember Cadane. To the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board, Josh Womack is nominated by Councilmember Gates and has community development experience. Your full council appointments are to the Board of Adjustment alternate members. Larry D. Brannon is nominated by Councilmember Callahan. To the Landmark Commission alternate members, Diane L. Sherman is nominated by Councilmember Griggs and has historic preservation experience. Also, you have Diane L. Sherman is nominated by Councilmember Griggs, also with historic preservation experience. To the Reinvestment Zone 7 Board Sports Arena, Eva Elvolve is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo and meets the owns property in the district qualification. To the Reinvestment Zone 15 Board Fort Worth Avenue, Eva Elvolve is also nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo and also, again, meets the owns property and district qualification. To the Reinvestment Zone 19 Board Cypress Waters, Elizabeth Solander is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo and meets the registered voter qualification.
A motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 24 is authorized. I'm sorry, that was deleted on the addendum. And just for the record, we will note on that item that the matrix needs to be corrected to reflect that it is in District 4. We move now to addendum item number 3. Mayor Rawlings, Councilmember Medrano, and Councilmember Carraway have a conflict of interest and will be stepping out of the council chamber. Councilmember Carraway, you have a conflict on the item and we'll need to step out of the council chamber, please.
I do.
Yes.
It's attendance. Mm-hmm. Addendum item number 3 is a resolution designated an absence by Mayor Michael Rawlings, Councilmember Adam Medrano, and Councilmember Dwayne Carraway as being for official city business.
I'll entertain a motion. Oh, Councilmember Davis, is there a second? Second by Councilmember Callahan. Any questions? Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it.
Thank you. Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Medrano and Carowin may return to the council chamber now. You may return. Thank you. We consider now addendum item number 5, an ordinance abandoning portions of Colorado Boulevard, an alley, railroad right-of-way, and a street easement to Southern Foods Group, LLC, the abutting owner, containing a total of approximately 32,279 square feet of land, located near the intersection of Colorado Boulevard and Lancaster Avenue, and authorizing the quitclaim. Councilmember Griggs.
Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to indefinitely postpone this item. The applicant hasn't finished their due diligence on defining the meets and bounds and has requested that we hold this item to such time that they complete their survey.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Just for the record, Mayor, I'm sorry, who made the second?
Callahan.
Callahan. Thank you. The following statement applies to addendum item number 6. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Addendum item number 6 is authorize an amendment to resolution number 13-0732 to increase an existing economic development loan with South Dallas Fair Park Inner City Community Development Corporation by $100,000 from $3,300,000 to $3,400,000 for the completion of the construction of commercial space located at 4922 Spring Avenue as part of the redevelopment plan for the Fraser area. This item does require 2 seconds.
I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve this addendum item number 6, please, sir.
And I second it.
Mr. Callahan, thank you. Second, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that finishes your morning session.
Okay. Just process, and then I'll read the statement. What I'd like to do is meet back, is take a little break and meet back in lunchroom by 20 of 1. I think our executive session will only take 15, 20 minutes. And if that's okay with everybody, I will read this now into the record. It is 12:06 p.m. October 8, 2013, the City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act and discuss the following matters described on today's agenda, personnel issues involving the selection of the city manager. Thank you. PM, October 8, 2013. The City Council will now go back into open session. We met under closed session under Section 551074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. We discussed the following matters described in today's agenda, personnel issues involving the selection of the city manager. We will take up our afternoon zoning cases. Ms. Rios.
Your consent zoning docket consists of agenda items number 25 through 30. I will read those items into the record, after which speakers will be called up to speak. Agenda item number 25 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property on the southwest corner of Forney Road and South Buckner Boulevard. Number 26 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1853 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use, 3,500 square feet or less, on property on the northeast corner of Royal Lane and North Simmons Freeway. Agenda item number 27 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1871 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise store 3,500 square feet or less, on property on the northeast corner of Lake June Road and Holcomb Road. Agenda item number 28 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment used for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property on the south side of Elm Street, west of North Crowder Street. Agenda item number 29 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to the Tract 6A development plan and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an underground walkway and on property on the southeast line of Garland Road, north of Lakeland Drive. Agenda item number 30 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1719 for an office use on property on the south side of Record Crossing Road, west of Yellowstone Road. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to read the, to approve the items? Are there any speakers in opposition? Do we have any speakers in favor?
Mayor.
Speakers, Mr.
Callahan. Miss Davis is not here at the horseshoe at the moment, but she wants to hold, pull the item 25 for individual consideration. We have a couple of issues on that.
Thank you.
So we'll be acting on everything that was read except for item 25.
So are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Thank you. We had a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Why don't we pick up item 25?
When Councilmember Davis returns?
She's not here. You're going to do that?
Yes, that borders our district. We had a conversation a few minutes ago with regard to that item.
Hold on a second.
If I may just call speakers one more time, just because it was poor.
I understand.
Thank you. Are there any speakers that would like to speak on relation to agenda item number 25 read earlier into the record? Please state your name and address for the record, sir. You have 3 minutes.
Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 75202, here to answer any questions that may be related to this case. If there's a need to hold it, we're happy to hold it to your next council agenda. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah. thank you, Mayor. Ms. Davis indicated that she had not had an opportunity to go out and take a look at that property with the council agenda, and I just mentioned to her there's some potential issues there that we should look at and look at together since it borders both our districts, so she want to have it pulled for individual consideration. But I will put into a motion that we move to hold that item for, can I do that for 2 weeks? Is that acceptable? Let's hold that for 2 weeks. We can have a look at the property, and then we'll come back again and take that matter in front of the council.
We've got a motion and a second for deferment for 2 weeks. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 31, a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1863 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use, 3,500 square feet or less, on property on the north side of Sine Road, west of Jim Miller Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 54 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 3 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor?
Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 75202. This item was held for 2 weeks. There were some issues on the property that we needed to resolve. I believe those have been taken care of, and we'd agree with the council's action to approve this without an automatic renewal and to remove the condition for screening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change, but with the change of a 2-year, the 2-year condition, and then have the automatic renewal removed. This specific use permit would expire on October 8th, 2015, and also delete the screening requirements.
Is that? You got that?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a second? Anybody want a second, Mr. Callahan's motion? Okay. We got a second, Mr. Medrano. Any discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Carraway.
I just want to ask Mr. Callahan, just kind of go over why to remove the automatic renewal.
Okay.
Just automatic. I'm for what's happening, but why not have automatic?
Just a number of issues on this given property. We've had loitering. We've communicated with the police. The Crime Watch group in the area said that there's been prostitutes noted on that property. We've had as many as eight liners stored inside the store. Mm-hmm. There's been some discussion of drug paraphernalia being sold there, and a lot of loitering and on-site drinking and so forth. But we've worked with the property owner to clean up a lot of that. They've pledged to cooperate with us. The reason the screening requirements is removed, we just feel like that just puts up a large barrier for graffiti, and the alley is extremely dark with a lot of trees. And we felt like by putting that screen barrier up there, then that would just simply allow potential robbers or somebody to hide behind that fence. And the neighborhood, the Crime Watch, was opposed to having the fence put up for that reason. So that's the reason for those changes.
The type of business, and what do we approve?
It's a convenience store, a C store. Now, they have limited food, and it's beer and wine primarily.
And,
so.
And we're doing this permit for beer and wine?
That's correct.
And I was just saying, would we be better off protecting the neighborhood with an with you saying without an automatic renewal?
Right.
But without an automatic renewal, if a change of ownership or if some other things go down the line, will we not be protecting the community if indeed they're doing okay? They would not have a problem. I don't know just how many we have.
Well, because we have had problems, I just really want to show that we're going to oversight them, not opposed to it. We recognize the citizens have voted in favor of having beer and wine. They wanted that in Southeast Dale. I agree with your earlier comments on that, but here in this given location, it's been a particular problem. And also coupled with some of the people that were hanging there have been squatters in a nearby house only a block or two away, and we're still working through those issues there. They're trying to take back the proper ownership.
And could we, in this motion, say that as long as this particular management and ownership is in place, because should it ever change and the property has, you know, the permit, and I'm just trying to protect us down the line. If they sell it, if it changes ownership, they may not have the same attitude and responsibility.
Well,
I don't know. I'm just trying to protect. I'm with it.
Teresa, do you want to respond to them?
Mr. Caraway, I certainly understand your caution and appreciate your concern. However, this is a land use item, so it has to be tied to the land and okay. Not the owner or the operator. We can't tie the SUP to the manager or the operator.
Okay, so my concern is that since what you just said, if indeed a change of ownership were to come and the new ownership does not have the same management or mindset of it, then they're operating because of what you just said, it's a land issue, then that means they can come in and we can't get rid of them is what I'm just trying to say.
Well, they wouldn't get an automatic renewal, and that's the reason I was trying to.
They only have 2 years.
Okay. 2 years, okay. No automatic renewal is what I'd made.
No automatic renewal.
No automatic.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you
missed all the way off.
Okay, no automatic renewal.
As Rosanna Dennis said, never mind.
Yeah, never mind.
I was thinking the same thing.
Thank you. I support it, and that's why I was trying to go.
Yeah, just want to restrict them, let them know that the council will oversee any particular problems in the neighborhood, and we're really honoring the Crime Watch group's wishes in that neighborhood. I think, Santos, you've been in agreement with that. The owner of the property has been in agreement, and I think even the convenience store operator understands that.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Callahan. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. We've got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, item number 32 requires a three-quarters vote, which is a total of 12 votes from the City Council. We only have 11 members. Therefore, the item cannot be considered.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is it just automatically put in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
So we need a motion to defer?
Go ahead.
Okay. They're saying we need somebody to make a motion to hold without reading the item into
okay.
the record.
Okay. So it's Mr. Callahan's.
Ma'am, we have 12.
Okay.
Would you repeat that, Rosie?
Okay, we've got 12
Thank
now.
You. Let me read the item now that we have 12 council members present.
Okay.
Thank you. Agenda item number 32 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1896 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store, 3,500 square feet or less, on property on the south of Lake June Road, east of Temple Cliff Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 8 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of a request. We received no replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition. Due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land, a 3/4 vote of City Council is required to approve this request.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC? Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, ma'am. Parvez Malik, Business Zoom, 1901 Central Drive, Bedford, Texas. And if there's any questions, I'll certainly answer those. Thanks.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
We Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Callahan.
I move that we approve the zoning request as recommended by the City Planning Committee, with the exception that it would be a 2-year term and then no automatic renewal on that particular zoning item.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Passes unanimously.
Thank you. Agenda item number 33 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath properties owned by the City of Dallas and Darling International, Inc., located southwest of the Trinity River, north of Cedar Crest Boulevard, and extending southeast to just north of East Overton Road, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to the City of Dallas by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath designated properties as potable water. The following statement needs to be read into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please step forward and identify yourself? Sir, if you'll please step up to the podium.
Wendell Honeycutt. I'm with Kleinfelder. We're at 7805 Mesquite Bend in Irving, Texas. We're working for the city on this project.
Please put the microphone close to you.
I'm sorry. My name is Wendell Honeycutt. I'm with Kleinfelder. We're with, at 7805 Mesquite Bend in Irving, Texas. And Mike McClellan and I were the ones that worked on this project. We're the professional geoscientists.
Thank you. You may have a seat. The gentleman will be available to answer questions if the public has any or the City Council. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any individuals that would like to speak on agenda item 33? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Caraway.
Move approval on this item, Mr. Mayor.
I've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 34 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by CCH Lamar Partners 1 LP, located near the intersection of South Lamar Street and Memorial Drive, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to CCH Lamar Partners 1 LP by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. The following statement needs to be read into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please step forward and identify yourself?
My name is Xiaohong Wang. I'm representative to the CCH Lamar Partner, and here answer any questions.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Medrano.
Yeah, I move to close the public hearing and approve item number 34.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda item number 35. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Agenda item number 35 is a public hearing on an application for and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from the Sam Houston Elementary School required by Section 6-4 of the Dallas City Code to allow a restaurant with a mixed beverage permit pursuant to Chapter 28 of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code with a food and beverage certificate on property fronting the southwest line of Cedar Springs Road and the northwest line of Knight Street. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
Yeah, I move to approve item number 35.
Got a motion and a second.
2 seconds, please.
Second.
Got another second. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. And I hope it. It's good sushi. Need good sushi restaurants, Ms. Medrano, in your district.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your agenda items. We move now to your afternoon speakers. Your afternoon speakers will begin with Donald Bell, followed by Azumba Lunx and William Hopkins. I will first recite the speaker guidelines.
What's that?
Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, will be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is directed by the presiding officer. Again, your first speaker, Donald Bell. Mr. Bell is coming forward. Mr. Welby will be followed by Azumba Lunx, William Hopkins, Lakoya London, and Dolores Phillips. Please state your name and address for the record.
Yeah, right here. Thank you.
Yes. 1 second. Dallas City Council, Dallas City Mayor, greeting. My name is Donald Bell, electrical engineer.
If you could speak in the microphone, it would be helpful. Thank you.
Owner and president of Talking on Pitch Cellular. Talking on Pitch Cellular had designed the world's first self-charging cell phone. Now, I can say that I brought this to Dwayne Carraway's, Councilman Dwayne Carraway's office attention, and this is falling on deaf ears. I'm hoping that the rest of the council has broadness of thought to understand what I'm talking about. This cell phone charges electronically and automatically. Our self-charging technology mimics charge artifact productions in the Earth's Coriolis effect. We have figured out how to mimic the Coriolis effect, make it producing charged particles to make our self-charging cell phone self-charge. We are looking for the City of Dallas to understand that this is a great opportunity to become as big or hopefully bigger than Silicon Valley. Their iPhone is just a toy compared to this cell phone. Now, let me just say that being that I have not had success talking to a Dallas City Council person as it relates to this cell phone and other high-tech technology that we have done. We've also designed lamps that work by radio signal. So we have done a great technological thing. I think that as we talk to people on the council, we should be more attuned to doing what I'm doing today. I would imagine that some of you all are successful business people, and you can understand the magnitude of what's going on. A self-charging cell phone, that's pretty egregiously important in today's world where CO2 gases are being emitted by things operating off the AC grid. So that is the fundamental purpose of my speech today, letting you all know that I want to become a partner with the City of Dallas, making this self-charging cell phone being known coming from this way, this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
Your next speaker is Ozumba Luntz. Mr. Luntz will be followed by William Hopkins, LaKoya London, and Dolores Phillips.
Mayor, City Council, I heard about the young man getting shot in East Dallas, I guess, 9 years old, by this gentleman or whoever the man was shot him. And it's been a while, about, a month or something. Nobody said nothing about it. I never heard that much about it till a few days ago, last week or something, but kept pretty quiet. I hate that happened, and I pray for his family, and I hope everything go well. And I know God is going to take care of this. I'm going to leave it like that. And now, you know, the devil is a liar. He's an accuser, and he's a killer of God's children. You know, I went to the police academy. I've been T-Clerk certified. I told you I was T-Clerk to be a peace officer, which when Bowling was, not Bowling, but Chief Staff was Chief Bowling, that Bowling that. But anyway, I also had a private investigator license also. And all the things I've heard about in school or in pre-law class that I took and stuff, it meant nothing to me as a black man because it didn't apply. Getting released on your own recognizance whenever you get into trouble, when people accuse you and you haven't been charged or by a jury, haven't found you guilty. All my life I tried to do things right. And all I do is get accused. I got accused by Mike Dupree when I was running for constable. He lied on me. I got accused by others, and they tell stories on you. People believe them. And one time when a drug dealer came up to me, Mike Dupree told him I was wrong. Another police was standing. He took me to jail, put me in jail. I had to bail out, bond out. Why can't I get released on my own recognizance? I'm not a felon every time, man. And they lied on me. Nothing ever came of it. Nobody do nothing. I didn't get my medication. They didn't give me when I was in jail. It's just pitiful way this city has kind of done me. You owe me, man. But you know, you haven't got away now because God is going to take care of it. Peace officer corrupt. They judge you before you even judge by a trial or anything. You know, many have accused me and lied on me. Because they are of this world and not of the world to come. And I'm not of this world. They hate me because I didn't do the things they did. I didn't say I was an angel, but a lot of things I didn't do. Just like when I applied for the police department, the police officer told me, tell them I smoked marijuana. I never smoked marijuana, never had a needle in my vein. I don't take pills. I don't do none of that. If a doctor didn't give me, I don't take it. I don't need it. All I need is God. God's going to take care of things. And I've always been a believer, believe it or not. I was baptized when I was 12, but I just want y'all to know, I know this world is in chaos. Nothing we can do but go to God. That's all we can do, get together, his children. But we're in bad shape. Nobody knows what to do. But the good people are going to have to get together and do the right thing. We're going to do the right thing. That's the only way we're going to make it, and then follow God. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins will be followed by LaKoya London and Dolores Phillips.
Reverend Jadeo, to give you the a copy of court order. They give it everybody a copy? Okay, everybody got a copy. This is the court order where the city sued the RSR lead smelter in West Dallas in 1981. This court order was this first page where the city said they didn't know nothing about the lawsuit in West Dallas and that they wasn't involved and that they didn't have nothing to do with it, Mayor Rollins. The second page is where the city of Dallas and the state of Texas sued the RSR lead smelter. So the first page was a lie, and it shows where the city had help program and everything in it. And the third page, Mayor Rollins, is where judges, lawyers, everybody signed off on the lawsuit stating that they was going to do the health care and help the people in West Dallas. So you've been having that for 2 years. You've been sitting on that for 2 years, you and this whole city council. So I'm going to show you what the problem Barack Obama is having with the people in Washington, the Republicans. These white people in Maryland are so racist, just like the city of Dallas, that the President Barack Obama can't get nothing passed. The health care, Romney had the same health care, Mayor Rollins. The only difference in Romney health care and President Obama's health care was Barack Obama is black and Mitt Romney is white. That's the only difference in the health care. We voted on it. The Supreme Court went for it. You know, everybody went for it. But now we got to make a deal with the white people on health care that we voted for. You implemented, in West Dallas. You implemented the health care, Obamacare, the county implemented the health, Obama health care. But won't nobody say nothing about Ted Cruz and them and Rick Perry and Greg Abbott, everybody. They don't want it. They don't want it for us, but we implemented it. And Ted Cruz, I know he's a state senator, but if he was born in Canada, can he close down our government, stop the debt ceiling, and stop Barack Obama from doing all that because Barack Obama is black, and then Ted Cruz can go back to Canada? I want to know if what's the guy named that, you know, always talking about birth certificates and all that there, the birth certificate guy in Fox News and all them. I want to know if Donald Trump can see if Ted Cruz was born in Canada. And if he was born in Canada, can he close our government down with a war going on? This is what I don't understand. Them people over there are fighting in a war in Afghanistan. And we're closing down the government, and we got soldiers getting killed. Just last week, some soldiers got killed. And we done closed down the government. This is because Barack Obama is black. These racist white people, he can't never do nothing. Ain't nothing never going to be right because he's black. And you see the way y'all treat us down here, black people. You see what happened to Roy. Just asking about a black kid that was shot by a white man. They throwed him out, drug Roy out, and now everybody's so sensitive. Talking about Alan's so sensitive, and Dwayne talking about you Thank sensitive. You. Everybody's sensitive. Thank After you, Roy got drug out, Thank Barack Obama's had the same problem.
Thank you, Mr. Hopkins.
Can I get a minute? Give me a minute? I'm smoking. Can somebody black vote for me a minute?
You are smoking, but
can somebody black vote for me a minute?
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Lakoya London. Not present, and Dolores Phillips is not present. Mr. Mayor, if I might just make a notation for the record to agenda item number 35, you did get a location map around the horseshoe.
Yes.
Just for the note, for the record. Thank
That's
you.
It. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned at 1:45 p.m.
There's a mic.
Good job.
Thank you.